Tonight's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games.
Thank God it's Friday!
The story is true.
Heavy Meta. Heavy Meta.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday? You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday?
Following cat.
Who the fuck?
Who do you think it is, motherfucker?
It's Heavy Meta, Maddie Studios. What you guys doing here? You're not supposed to be here no more. We took over. This is our show now.
I'm sorry. I've been drinking too much while you guys were talking.
Yeah, I'm going to be hardlining Kraken, and that's all I'm going to be doing the whole time. I don't give a fuck. So come on out. See me naked.
My wife is... What? Doctor, I have access to all the hypodermic needles that I need.
Hypodermic needles?
Hypodermic.
Wait. I want access to hypodermic needles. That's what I want.
He's like literally like he can't deal with like two of me.
I start walking home and I said, "Fuck you, San Diego."
What the fuck are they gonna put a baby seal with a club in its head?
I don't.
You can't invite a nigga to the door without, you know, making it true. And I'm going to say nigga a lot, too, because you guys cuss and talk about dicks and shit.
Totally okay with it.
Welcome to Heavy Meta.
But then there's other times where we're just rambling drunk the whole episode, and somehow we still come out with a fucking podcast every week.
He went to turn around and slipped in the puddle, and he fell on the side of the urinal.
There are rules to a devil's reason, and I still, that, like, I don't know, that shit just...
He turns around, I guess I gotta go make me some bagels.
The summer of a movie?
What the fuck?
That sounded like some random ass person. The summer of a movie!
Look, guys, I knew I was coming into what would be like the Lord of the Rings style of podcast. I've got a liter of water next to me. We just cracked a 20-ounce Red Bull, and my wife has made amazing burritos for me to chomp down on the next 3 hours. As I came home today for 5 minutes to tell her, hey, I'm doing this podcast, I'll talk to you in about 3 hours. And she gave me
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
Cookie Monsters, I'm Kevin Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
I'm Raging Gumby.
And I am Tristan Gregson. And tonight on Heavy Meta, there is so much to talk about, I'll probably have to scroll while naming all of these things off. That said, we're going to be covering the full restock on those Heavy Meta tokens. David's for everyone in conjunction with his great performance last weekend. Maddie is honored at the highest community level that GatheringMagic.com can offer. Obviously, David's going to recant his full tale of getting in and out of escaping L.A. I will tell you that I have not given up on the dream of going to GP Toronto, and you can still help. Maddie's getting serious about playing Modern. He wants to go to the MDSS, which is not some weird form of dentist. We'll tell you all about it later on. MTGO is trying to remaster Tempest, which seems like a giant shit sandwich. Meanwhile, Worth Wolpert gave us a year-in-review report for MTGO for 2014. Only 2 months late. Seems like a standard MTGO style of getting shit done. Modern Masters 2015 packaging is going to be recyclable, so now you can wipe your ass with it and feel better about doing so. And last but not least, we'll give you a GP Vegas update because we're all getting the hard-on to go back to Sin City yet again, but tonight's going to be a fucking long one, so let's get right back up to the top.
Holy
here.
Shit.
Wow.
I'm fucking proud of you, TSG. You got to do all of them like that. You sound like a goddamn rodeo announcer or something. That's fucking awesome.
That's the highest accolade someone from the crest can give you. I sound like a rodeo announcer.
I think TSG is going to be getting some payback tonight from that Eat Your Cheese Nerd shit.
Yeah.
Fuck you, the Oscars. No, I've got the PBA calling. They want me to call out Jimmy Jr. riding Sally in the fucking cattle herd.
Oh, you piece that joke.
Oh, wow.
This is going to be fucking sweet, and I, as always, am just going to be the goddamn rodeo clown all fucking night. I'm just going to dress stupid, run around in circles, and yell shit, and try to distract people.
I mean, we are recording this on a day where I am a little tilted that I am losing the very sweet deal I had on the house we were renting, but that is no reason to slow down and not imbibe slightly more whiskey than usual while on the cast.
Nice.
Yes. We're going to have drunk TSG tonight. It's going to be so much fun.
Sandwich good.
We've even cornered the living room, so I'm right next to the goddamn wireless router, so I will not be dropping off a signal tonight. We are going nowhere.
Wireless. Nice. So I can go wander around my fucking house and podcast again like I used to in the old days.
No. Heavy Meta Premium, what the viewers don't get to hear is they don't get to hear us hearing Kevy's zipper go up and down, or when he's having trouble with his lighter trying to get the cigarette started, or general dish moving between meals, because again, nowadays the cast is 3 hours, you've got to stop for a cheese break from time to time.
Let me just say this, last episode was a clusterfuck of hell to edit, so
oh my god.
Wow.
I think the most I laughed fucking in a long time was like I was re-listening to the end of that episode today. I started it earlier in the week, and then I was listening to the end of it today. Well, basically about the point where we got to the fucking cheese nerd thing, and that was fun.
That was great.
What made me laugh so goddamn hard is us laughing, and that's what's sad I think about this show is. Just evolved into, like, the funniest shit in the world to us is the other people on the cast laughing. And when we kept laughing and couldn't stop, and then TSG tried to get serious again.
And we just
fucking went full bore. I was laughing my ass off out loud listening to me laughing on a podcast about some shit that had been said 10 minutes before that. It's really bad.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to the last episode, after the ending, the second ending...
do yourself a favor, go get a nice cheese and sit down and eat it, nerd.
The string that ties all the stories together is so thin, because it's like one sentence about not eating meat and then eating cheese, and somehow that ends in a Mexican dinosaur
t-shirt that says grapple, grapple, grapple.
It says eat your cheese, nerds, grapple, grapple. By the way, I want to say a huge shout out to Stephen Raffel. Me and him are working. He's finished the artwork. It is gorgeous, fully colored. I am making the shirt. I'm going to probably have that out in the next couple of weeks, but definitely want to get this shirt out because it's just too epic to not.
I can't wait to get my hands on one.
It's too goddamn funny.
Yeah.
Well, what I fucking love about this whole thing, which ties into some shit we got to talk about tonight, is the fact that, all right, so everybody that was watching David on coverage, and everybody that was in the chat going, what the fuck is Grapple? And what the fuck is Heavy Meta? Likely the next logical step is they're like, well, let's go check out this Heavy Meta thing. And they listen to the last episode. Now, they're not going to get, like, crazy fucking deck, David talking about how he fucking ended up at 154 life on camera, or, what the ins and outs of this deck. They're going to hear us yelling a bunch of shit about go eat your fucking cheese, nerd, and fucking dinosaurs and grappling, and nobody's going to understand what the fuck we were talking about. So I'm kind of curious to see if we actually gain any listeners out of that, or if, like, you see this spike in listeners, like it doubles or triples for that episode and then goes right back down to normal because everybody knew they had no idea what Heavy Meta is, listened to one episode and said, fuck this.
If you think about this is really our chance. If everyone saw David last weekend, they're now listening to the show this week, and we're already doing a shitty job of not trying to include people in our inside jokes. So yeah, go back. Go through the catalog, understand why dinosaurs grapple and why nerds eat cheese. And once you've gotten to that point, this whole conversation will make a lot more sense.
A lot more sense.
Look, I've said this.
Tell listening to all the episodes.
Yeah, I've said this a few times for those people that may hear a snippet of the show and be like, I don't understand. And I'm like, yes. And you know what? When
you never will.
No. I said when you first played watched your first game of Magic and you tried to play it, you didn't understand it. You were tapping your lands. You didn't understand what worked and why it did it. But the reward after 6 months of you learning to play Magic is that you know how to play. So if you don't like our show, listen for 6 months, and I guarantee you, you're going to love
it. The reward for six months of fucking eardrum abuse is that you'll understand the jokes.
Stockholm syndrome for everyone at home.
Exactly. Damn, TSG's on point tonight.
Yeah. So let's
get too deep in the real topics, and before we talk about new shirts and new items, we have painstakingly gone through the process, I have to stop and thank everybody that contributed to round one, picking up the cost of the tokens, paying for shipping, everything you guys have done to make sure that is out there. There are now 300 little Kevies out in the world, hopefully dealing damage to people, and there's just a few Davids that are friends with them.
A few Davids. What a blow.
But hey, the tide is going to turn. But the second shipment has been ordered. I expect no stoppage in the flow of tokens out the door. That said, I've still got like 30 emails in the inbox of people that made initial contact being like, I want tokens. And then I reply to them being like, hey, give me some details. And then I never heard back from those people. So you 30 people, answer your goddamn emails. I love you. And everyone else out there who hasn't got their tokens yet, we've got plenty. Again, luckily, I've got some extra Davids to go for the big surplus. I'm the third of demand now from everything that happened last weekend. In another week's time, I'll be showing a giant sad stack of middle finger Kevy tokens being like, nobody wants me. But until then, regardless of what country you're in, what zip code you're in, what penal system you're a part of, we will ship to you. We'll make sure you get your tokens. Email us at heavymetasvu@gmail.com. We'll get you some goddamn tokens. We fucking love it. It's awesome. Thank you guys so much for supporting the cast. And that one is off the docket. That one's for you, Steve. Let's move on to much more important news.
Hey, before we get off it, can you send me some of my own goddamn tokens?
You won't.
I don't have
it. I already asked you to send me one.
God damn it. Like, the Californians were on the list this time. I was going to definitely David, and David will have to get them to Kevy. Once I get the initial shipment, they'll have the allotment to then pass out at all of David's public appearances at Magic events from here forward.
I mean, fuck it. You know what?
You rightfully so, you have no faith in me going to any Magic events whatsoever.
Neither do I.
You talk openly every week about how you're not going to.
I know. It hurts a little bit inside, but I deal with it. I got a mirror right here, so I just deal with it.
Well, that's another opportunity for listeners. If you are within earshot of the crest and you would like your Kevy's hand delivered and signed by him, you'll get a nice hungover squiggle if you can convince him to get out to these events that David will be going to in Southern California.
That's true. That's very true.
So as far as Maddie's concerned, he had control over this thing from the beginning. Why he didn't ship himself some, I have no fucking clue. But we could take care of it.
Because fans first, man. I send them out first. I'll eventually get one. I'll get one.
That is why he is proclaimed one of these fucking top eight motherfuckers.
Yeah. I don't fucking Maddie always just
outplaying
me. I don't get it. You know, he goes and he does well at the freaking face to face invitational, whatever. And I'm like, all right, fine. So I go out and do well at a big tournament. And then he's all, you know what I'm going to do? Fucking top eight the community. Beat that.
The whole fucking community.
Yeah, top eight the community.
I didn't even do anything. I didn't even know.
Oh, that's really helping David's ego. Yeah, do it.
Oh, sorry, David.
I didn't do anything.
How much effort
did you put into it? Me? None.
I sat there and talked about Magic cards and had posted pictures of my kids beating me in games of Magic. Apparently, I'm the greatest fucking human being north of Maine.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
That's yours.
I think he's just west of Maine. I don't know if he's even actually north of Maine.
I'm gonna take Kevy's word for it.
I'm probably slightly north. I might not be. I'm not sure.
You're definitely
Kevy is the geography master. I do not claim to beat him there.
Yeah, that's the only thing he's got going for me anymore. TSG is just fucking TSG. Fucking Matty is fucking the top eight of the community. David is fucking super motherfucker, and I'm all, damn it, maybe I should start playing Magic or something.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like I got to start pulling my weight on this fucking podcast.
We have a bona fide rock star. I think that's pretty good for us. No,
I'm not a bona fide rock star. I used to do this shit pretty well, but I haven't even played a show in fucking I don't know how long. I'm fucking losing my edge. That's it.
He's losing his edge.
I was not expecting this to turn into Heavy Meta the Intervention, but if we want to have this conversation.
Fuck. Yeah. Don't give me actual motivation, because then you guys are all fine. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to get any better at Magic or anything, but I'll do something else.
What does that mean? All right. Let's move on. Yes.
If you can enlighten the listeners that maybe didn't catch the one time we did mention this thing, what exactly are you now involved in?
For what?
His top eight.
Well, apparently Gathering Magic, Mike, Vorthos Mike on Twitter, wanted to put together a little bit of a spotlight on community members, and it looks like there was a poll, I believe. I was trying to retweet the poll a couple times. I voted for Proxy Guy.
Which made it as well.
Yeah, he made it as well, which is awesome. But it looks like, you know, top eight community members, I guess it's this year. This might be an ongoing yearly thing.
I think he wants to do it yearly.
Yeah.
And he basically, like, from what I understand, you know, he got, like, had people nominate, you know, just like the fucking, you know, Wizards does a community cup, yeah. But, like, he had people nominate people and fucking tell him why, and he came up with a fucking top eight. I don't think it was just him. I believe there was a fucking panel of people that
eight
community members that, you know, have done a lot for this community. The people that, you know, maybe you don't see on streams all the time and stuff like that, but, like, the, you know, people that have done a lot for the community, which I think is a fucking an awesome idea. Because, I mean, the Community Cup is great. But, like, WotC runs that, you know, and it's all through them, and then, you know, they get nominations from everybody, and then they pick the fucking winners, which is fucking awesome. We, you know, we got to see a couple of our friends go to the Community Cup this year.
Yeah, and no one from Heavy Meta is ever getting on the Community Cup.
Exactly that. It's like, you know, it still is a little bit political, which I completely understand. Wizards isn't going to be like, oh, fucking Kevin Metal and Maddie Studios, right on. Fucking let's have you guys.
Oh, my God, the best Community Cup ever.
Well, see, Scott from Sign and Blood and I have this plan to try to get on the Community Cup team next year, but we're going to interview as a team, kind of like on Step Brothers. and he, like, when he brought this idea to me, he's all, how can we lose? And I'm sitting there thinking of the multiple ways that we could lose, and I couldn't come up with any of the ideas on how we could win, but we might still try to do it anyway. But yeah, like, this thing is, you know, it's the community itself picking the fucking members and not having the, I don't know, the bureaucratic nonsense that comes with, you know, Wizards being like, okay, well, you know, you're, and again, like, the Community Cup from Wizards is basically like Modo for the most part. It's like focused on fucking Magic Online. This is just like people that do shit for the community. You know, you got fucking Maddie, you know, but you've got like fucking people in the fucking art community, like Original Magic Art. You got fucking
Puka Trade.
Eric Puka Trade, which, you know, that's a fucking huge thing too. It's, you know, you got the Proxy Guy who, you know, and none of you, I mean, like, Maddie, I know you fucking play a lot on Magic Online. You're very active in the Magic Online community, but this really didn't have anything to do with, like, playing Magic Online. This is the people in this community in different areas that, you know, just make this place better and that fucking, and that do their shit and do it well and spawn a better community. And I think it was a fucking great idea that he had, and I believe he's going to be doing this, you know, ongoing, you know, like, every year, try to do it every year. But, you know, it was really cool to see the list of, you know, the top eight people that he came up with that, you know, do a lot of shit for this fucking community that, you know, like I said in my fucking tweet, but, like, I was serious about it. It's like, you know, you guys do a lot of selfless shit for the community. You know, I know Maddie myself personally. I know many, many, many conversations that we've had, you know, just in private about, like, you know, let's fucking do this, is, you know, let's get these out to the fucking fans, or let's try to fucking do this and do that. You know, it's not about, like, oh, hey, man, how can we fucking make more money, or how can we fuck these people over? It's like, hey, you know,
wait, we make money?
No, no, that's the sad part.
Exactly. That's the thing is, it's like, you know what? We all sit down, we do this fucking every week. Maddie does, you know, Maddie's on Twitter fucking constantly. Maddie's fucking, you know, up until just recently, Maddie was the only thing to do with anything with like our merch. And you know, like recently we've had some people pop up and have some ideas and start working with other people. But fuck, man, it was constantly just Maddie like making playmat designs. You know, he's a graphic designer, so he'd start making shirts and making playmat designs and shit like that just so that the community could have what they were asking for, you know. And he's always been a huge advocate of it. And, you know, I commend you for it. And it's cool to see you get some recognition like
totally.
This. And, you know, and like I said, the other people on the list too, you know, like you look at like
even,
you know,
Cube Tutor.
Proxy,
I mean,
like, Proxy Guy, yeah, Cube Tutor was another one. You know, you got fucking Proxy Guy. We've all known for a long time that motherfucker is an awesome, selfless motherfucker mm-hmm. that does shit for this community to make it better because he loves this fucking game.
Yep.
And you know, he's getting more recognition this way, you know, just by this top eight. And then you've got, you know, Puka Trade and Cube Tutor both kind of fall into that same category where it's like, you know, they're busting their asses to do something a little bit different, not just like, oh, hey, I'm playing Magic, or hey, I sell Magic cards or whatever. They're trying to innovate and do things and put a lot of time and fucking effort into it. So yeah, it's fucking,
by the way, I'm not one to spoil top secret information, because I'm not going to do that, but I just want everyone to know that there is things that we are privy to that I'm not even going to say anything else, but there is some incredible shit.
I don't say fucking anything.
Because I don't want to say anything, but I'm so excited. Like,
I know some things.
I know some things. I know some things. There's going to be some things that are going to happen in the world of Magic cards that we are privy to, and we're really excited. It's gonna change.
Heavy Meta's Miss Cleo, everybody. Yeah, heavy Meta's Miss Cleo.
It's not even that. Like, it's Miss Cleo. Totally just like,
and don't marry that fat man. He only wants you for his money, girl.
I'm so excited. Like, this new, the news I got today was right, like my. Right. Anyway.
So very broad question.
Yes.
That people might ask you.
Broad question.
So you've told us that it's you know, community members you don't normally see. It's people that are doing other aspects inside promoting Magic and doing things for the game. That's great. You have been chosen with seven other people to represent that group, but what are you representing them by doing? What is it you're partaking in?
What do I bring to the community is what you're asking?
No. Like so you've been chosen sure. to do what? Like take.
Oh
part
no, that's the thing.
It's just an honor.
Tell us what you do.
Yeah, it's not being chosen to lead a charge or do anything. It's like these were people. Like this was him, you know, bringing recognition to people that do things for this, they've already done that do things for this community. This wasn't necessarily like we've got a fucking top eight team now that is going to go fucking forward and change the Magic universe. No, this is like people that have fucking done very well for the community and helped a lot. And this is like recognition for it. It's an honor kind of thing, not a, you know,
yeah, it's
oh,
like
hey,
an Academy Award.
Assembled a super team. Now, but what Maddie was getting to, the things that are going to be happening, I finally like clued in about halfway through because I think I know which email you're talking about. And yes, we'll have to talk about that off air. But yes, fucking crazy things are going to be happening in the fucking community. Yeah, basically, like Maddie said, I'm not going to tell you shit other than that.
Anyways, there are things
that's kind of separate from the top eight thing.
Yeah, let's not get too far off the beaten track. But the top eight is a huge honor. I'm extremely grateful, and you know, like I said to a lot of people, you do this day in day out. You don't really think about it, but it's really, really nice, and it feels great that, you know, that people do acknowledge what you do and that the effort you've been putting in. And you know, in all honesty, there's my catchphrase. We're trying to grow the community and help everybody, and that's the plan, man.
Oh, and Maddie, do you like how I like inadvertently snuck myself into the top 8 article, even though that I didn't do that on purpose, but
I don't know who sent. Okay, first of all, can I just say something? I don't know who sent, because Mike Linneman asked me for a picture, and I'm like, I'll get back to you, and then he's like, never mind, I got one. And I'm like, who fucking sent him the picture of Cammy Metal and Rich and me? Like, what the fuck?
Well, he hits me up and he's just like, oh, he's all, hey man, for that, for this article. And he didn't even tell me it was the top eight article. He's just all, hey, for this article I'm writing, he's like, do you have any pictures of fucking Matty Studios? Because he's kind of, you know, he kind of keeps pictures of himself off the internet. Like, it's kind of hard to find a picture of Matty. And I was all, well, shit, hold on. So I scrolled through my phone and I found pictures of us in Vegas. And I had like fucking two or three that had you in it. And this, I think, is the only one that I had that was like, that actually featured you in it. It wasn't just a crowd of people with you standing there. So I was just like, oh, here, you know, this is a picture of Matty, you know, figure and crop it as you need to or whatever. But then I read the article and it's all Matthew Beverly, Matty Studios. And it's a picture of me, you, and Rich. And it says image via Heavy Metal with a link to my Twitter. And I was like, holy shit, I just accidentally stuck myself into the Oscars, kind of.
I love your face. That's sweet, dude. Man, awesome. I would say this. There's no Matty Studios without Kevin Metal, so. There you go. There you go,
thanks,
folks.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that.
Besides, like, you know, my incredible accomplishment of Top 8 community, you know, of all the community, there was another. Yeah, the entire of community. There was something else that occurred, and I will say this. Alexander Haigh won a Pro Tour, and I cried. I shed a tear when he actually top-decked the Angels, and he did that. And, you know, KYT got on the Pro Tour, and that was really exciting. But I have never witnessed such excitement. I would say rabble. I would say ravenousness. I would say grapple. I got a tweet. I'm sitting there.
You asked me around my house with a boner.
I got a tweet. I'm sitting there with my iPad, and it's like, hey, Raging Gumby is on camera. And I'm like, what? I got to check this fucking out. I get in there, and by the time I get into the SCG chat, the chat is exploding. And when I say exploding, I don't mean, hey, Gumby's cool. I mean, every Heavy Meta SVU listener has suddenly entered the chat. The ratings went from 5,000 viewers to 10,000 viewers. They start saying, holy shit, we're breaking records. The moderators are crapping their pants. Everybody's
posting grapple, 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 grapple. That's the funniest shit I've ever seen. Somebody took a screenshot of that shit, and literally the entire fucking screenshot of the Twitch chat just said grapple, grapple, grapple over and over, except for a couple people that are all, what does grapple mean? What is HMSVU? I don't understand.
The best part of that entire thing was a lot of people are like, oh, was that one screenshot over 10, 20 minutes? I'm like, no, that was 20 minutes straight of the chat moving out. An entire refresh a second. Just.
Yeah, the moderators are just all right, you guys need to fucking calm down. You're getting rowdy. We're going to fucking turn this shit off if you don't fucking stop. I remember at one point one of the moderators is all, if fucking David wins this match, then we're going to have to turn the chat off.
Yes. Dude.
And I was just all, yes.
The worst was they started banhammering people. And so what would happen is people are grapple, grapple. And the moderator is like, guys, you got to knock this grapple shit off. And then people are like, grapple, grapple. And then bink, the guy disappears. And then all that. Everyone's like, what the fuck, man? Why'd you ban that guy? And he's like, you guys gotta calm down. And then someone's like, grapple, bink, ban. Holy shit. And I swear to God, Rico Travels got banned. All kinds of people got banned. And then the guy's like, Heavy Metal, what is this garbage? What? And people are, oh, it got into a insanity. It was just nuts, man.
Before it even got there, what was fucking hilarious is in the semis when fucking, like, they were showing the other match in the semifinals,
yes.
And the entire chat lit the fuck up. They're all, Naya! Naya! We want to see the fucking Naya deck! Gumby! Gumby! And everybody's just like, alright, calm down. Like, the moderator's just like, alright, tell you what, if we can reach, like, 10,000 viewers, we will go, yes. You know, we'll try to cut over to the other match when this one is done. Everybody's all, fuck that! Why are you doing this to us, Twitch? God damn it! Or why are you doing this to us, SCG? We want to see the fucking Naya deck. It starts a huge fucking argument on them just showing the same goddamn abs index over and over. Nobody wants to see that shit. Come on, let's see this fucking Naya deck. Come on, let's go. And they're like, Jesus Christ, oh my God. Okay, if you guys calm the fuck down, then
yeah,
when
calm the fuck down. Tell the Heavy Metal SVU to goddamn. Yeah, that works.
Like, you guys chill out and we, you know, maybe we get some more viewers, then I will see what I can do to get the fucking, you know, the Naya deck or the Naya fucking match on after this one is over. And it was a fucking bloodbath in there. Everybody was And I was just laughing my ass off. And I'm like, are you fucking – see, I'm showing her the chat. I'm like, look at this shit. It's fucking hilarious. I'm trying to cook dinner while I'm fucking – like in between games. Like fucking they go to sideboard and I'm like, shit, all right, I got to make these taco shells real quick. And I'm like, got my phone in my hand and I'm going through the Twitch chat with one hand and I'm fucking cooking taco shells with the other hand and then run back out to the living room to go watch the match when it starts. And fucking – and then it just went nuts after that. Like once David was back on camera, it was just fucking –
The best thing about that semifinals match, when David broke the SCG life counter – They literally were free, like, Seti, because I tweeted for fun in the chat room, like, hey man, someone's got to tell Seti P and the white guy, you know, to get, and they're like, excuse me, it's Patrick Sullivan, and I'm like, yeah, the white guy, and they're like, Patrick Sullivan, I'm like, right, white guy, and I was trolling them at that point, but they were just so upset, and they're like, who's this? Studio, and I'm like, and then just like Jagger, Tommy Moles are all like, that's Maddie Studio on Heavy Meta. And they're like, Heavy Meta, what's Heavy Meta? Gumby is on Heavy Meta, and people are like, Gumby? There's no Gumby. They're like, David Moline is Gumby? And I'm like, yeah.
So, who is Gumby? What is this? No, it literally turned into like, you know, I've gone on to like Scotty Max fucking, you know, on his stream and watched, and it's like, you see all the buddies in there. It's like, oh shit, Kevin's here. Oh, hey, what's up, Tommy? Oh, hey, what's up, guys? What's going on? You know, and you start bullshitting. And that's what the goddamn SCG live chat looked like. It was fucking, everybody was just all, oh shit, Maddie's here. Oh, Kevin's here. What's going on? And just random fucking Heavy Meta references. Oh man, I shed a little tear. It's fucking hilarious. David is just fucking going to town with a Heavy Meta shirt on and the entire SVU is in the fucking SCG live chat. And they literally had to just all of a sudden realize what the fuck was going on.
I have to say that the funniest thing I have ever seen is normally in the chat rooms, if you watch the Pro Tour and that, you know, someone will make a racist comment or swear and they'll say, hey, we're going to ban you. SCG was threatening banning people because they were saying the word grapple. and the SCG commentator is like, one more person says grapple and you're gone. And someone's like, oh, wow, David Moline's about to totally grapple this guy. Boom, gone. And they're like, and I'm like, whoa, 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 that's a little cold. I go, hey, there's a difference between someone spamming the thing, grapple, 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 and a guy just saying grapple. And then even Patrick Sullivan and Seti P were just like, I think he's going to submit right now.
I knew that had to have taken a effect on the commentary by the end of it, because like, he just submitted.
Yeah.
I don't know what submission that was.
I don't know what submission hold that was.
And the best...
Oh, dude, I lost my shit.
The best is when you... Every time you would trigger... I can't, what's the name of that damn white card again?
SCFNC.
There, Master. That's it. So every time you do it and you'd be like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and you gain all that life, the chat would just explode. Grapple, 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 grapple. Because everyone's like, he's grappling right now. That's how he grapples. Oh my God. I couldn't believe it, dude. I was watching.
I wish I could have watched the chat. Like, oh man, it made me so happy just knowing that was happening. Cause like people were messaging me. Like I had to turn my phone on silent and like put it away because in the matches, like my phone was going, bleep, bleep, bleep. It was so nuts. And like people, like the judge was looking over at me. And like, I was like, my phone Twitter is going crazy.
You're like, I'm popular. I'm a little popular with the fans.
And I was just like, they were staring at me like, what the fuck? Do you have a vibrator in your pocket? I was like, why are you turning me on? I just wanted to get, you know, comfortable.
But, yo, what's up, Judge? You want to buy a couple fucking dragon tokens?
My phone, and like, I had to like move it off. But everyone else, like, I had friends behind me, and Britt was behind me, and she's just like going, you're like, Twitter is going crazy, and, you know, everybody on Twitter is mentioning how Twitch is going crazy. And so it was like, it was really fun and really cool to know that like tons of people were watching and rooting for me and everything else.
But you have to understand, it wasn't, when Hayne won the Pro Tour, there was maybe 15 people I knew on Twitter excited. I'm not saying hundreds, David, hundreds.
The chat
alone had people I don't even know their names, and they knew who Heavy Meta was.
It was insane. It was insane.
Handle it. Between trying to check Twitter and write Twitter messages and fucking watch the Twitch chat on my phone while I'm watching the match happen on my fucking TV, I was like, technology overload for me. I'm fucking retarded. I can't do this. I'm just all, yes, David is fucking killing it. This is so awesome. And, yeah, I'm losing my shit. My wife is fucking just laser beam focused, like watching this fucking match, not knowing anything about what's going on.
You know what? Good though is she was in the same boat as everybody else. Like, there was so much stupid shit going on in that match. Like, I missed triggers. Like, the guy forgot to, like, lay 7 permanents out off the Ugin ultimate, and, like, nobody fucking noticed.
Oh, that's
like,
right. Oh, my God, because there was no room. There's just
no room.
I was texting Daniel back and forth about that. He's just, oh, wait a second. Did that guy just fucking forget that he's supposed to fucking put 7 permanents out? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It looks like he forgot. But I was like, then again, the way this game goes, there might still just be a bunch of shit on the stack, and we're not even to that point yet. Like, I don't even know what's going on.
No, we totally spaced it, and it wouldn't have mattered anyway, but it's just so funny that the board was, like, that crazy. Like, Patrick Sullivan was like, you know, it's to the point where nobody can attack, and not because, like, they just can't attack. Like, they physically can't attack. Like, there's no room.
The best was when he attacked with 2, like, 40-40 Palugranoses, or fought, like, and he's like, well, he's going to fight his entire team, so this will clean things up. And then, like, 10 minutes later, he's like, well, I didn't clean anything up.
That didn't really do anything. Just fucking
a little different. Yeah, that, I mean, that game was so fun.
Better too is, like, there was a bunch of, like, when I watched you earlier on, when, oh, fuck, I forget what his name is. That you
won before, like, that, as I lost to Nick something at playing Blue-White Hero. Yeah.
Right. And dude, I mean, you made a couple punts, but dude, the chat was just fucking merciless. There's a bunch of people talking shit in the chat, and I was just like, oh goddamn. I was like, fucking, you know, there's a couple people defending you too. They're just like, dude, fucking fatigue is a real thing. I mean, the guy is fucking, you know, made it this far. He's obviously doing something right, but they're like, well, fuck that. That was fucking terrible play. That was sloppy play. Fucking blah, 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 blah. And just talking shit, because that's
I made one big punt. I think the other ones, like, because the other things, I've seen some of that stuff. Like, I've seen some of the things that people were saying, and right, like some of the stuff about that big match that people were playing, like, oh, you should have done this, you weren't playing around Creator's Claws. What those motherfuckers don't understand is I knew the guy's deck list. I knew what I had to be afraid of. Like, the second he tried to Creator's Claws me the second time for a lethal, as soon as I got past that, I knew I was in the clear, because he only had 2 Creator's Claws in the entire deck.
In his list. So, right.
Well, yeah, and I was fine. And as far as, like, the blue-white heroic thing, I made one punt. I could have won game one. That was a clear just mistake. You know, the other thing were lines of play that I was trying to play around, and it ended up being the wrong thing. I did make one other mistake when I attacked with an elf that I should have held back, because I knew that he had the disdainful stroke, the one cost one that has ferocious, the counterspell. I should have played around it by leaving an elf back instead of attacking with everything. So I could have played game one very differently, and most likely would have won. But either way, that's a rough matchup.
Well, shit, they were even getting to the point. It's like you're talking about Twitch trolls. And so, like, it was even the point where, like, they're just mercilessly talking shit about, like, you, the way you tap your lands at 45 degrees.
Oh, that, like, was so bad, though, dude.
Getting into that kind of bullshit. And I was just all, oh, Jesus Christ. Because I'm sitting there at that point. This is earlier on, and I was just like, oh, fuck it. I thought that was your winning in, but then, like, you still
ended up making it. It was a winning in, but it wasn't my last winning in.
Right. And so I'm sitting there, like, watching that game, and I'm just all, oh, man, this is going to suck for fucking David, because David's done so fucking well. And then, like, you know, if it ends here, like, David's going to be down on himself. Like, if he sees this fucking Twitch chat, just people talking shit, like, just being fucking assholes. I was all, that sucks, though, you know? And then to just see you come back from that and just fucking stomp it out and do the shit that you did, I was just like, oh, vindication. There we go. Now the entire Twitch chat with fucking 3 times as many viewers is just fucking going off the deep end for fucking David. Like, yes, if he sees this whole fucking thing, he will feel so much better.
By yeah, time I knew I was going to get ripped apart in that game. Like, it was kind of sucky that that was like I finally made the feature match, because seriously, six matches before that, I was in the feature match tables, and half of them I was right next to that feature match in the Elspeth table, which is where I was during that crazy ass game that just, it went so long that the other match completely ended before we were in halfway through game one.
Yeah, game one that almost went to an hour.
I think it went over an hour.
Yep, it went over an hour. Longest game.
Game one was like, I'm pretty sure, 65 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the match was done at like 75 minutes.
Yeah. It ended over an hour, and then game two of that match like lasted maybe five turns. And then game three lasted, I think, the same five or six turns the other way around. But before that, like I think I was in the feature match area almost as much as the guy that went undefeated throughout the entire Swiss, who I did lose to, which I should have beat. I was in the feature match for the last half of day one and then all of day two.
Damn. Dude, and they finally get you on camera and fucking
I gotta give a shout out to Mondragon. He was one of the Marco, he was one of the feature judges throughout day two, and he pulled some strings to get me into that feature match with the Blue White Heroic. Sadly, it got me into my worst matchup, but it was still cool being on the feature match, and like you said, I was able to come back and redeem myself and get into the top eight and put myself into a position to win and.
In a crazy fucking way, too, because, aside from the rest of this, and I still, I think this needs to just lead into you giving us a tournament report, but the fact that in that crazy match that did what it did, that you ended up with, I think when the guy conceded, you were at, 142 life, mm-hmm. and the board, nobody could even see any playmat underneath it. Like, the ridiculousness that was going on, it was fucking out of hand. So that's one of those things, that's not a match that people are going to soon forget. It's not like, oh, cool, here was, my semifinal match, and I fucking played my fucking deck and whatever. You're playing something that people didn't know, people that, were interested in seeing. You're playing this fucking Naya deck that everybody's fucking stoked on, and, just seeing it do what it was doing just fucking was flooring people. You created this ridiculousness that the commentators even were just like, oh my fucking God, what the hell is going on here? It's not only were you able to get into a position, you lost against Blue Eye Heroic, but then you get into a position where you're like, oh, okay, here, not only am I on a feature match that matters, in the top eight, but I'm in probably one of the most memorable fucking top eight matches in the last month or two. I don't watch coverage that often, but well, I've heard just people talking about that fucking match because it was insane.
Well, yeah, that was the fun thing. Patrick Sullivan was talking about, it was the most complicated match of Standard and the longest match of Standard that he thinks he's ever covered. Mm-hmm. And, during the coverage, they mention about how many viewers they're up to. And, it was cool to be a part of that and knowing that,
Dude, you kicked ass. You kicked ass.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. Hey, before we get into the tournament, Kevy, go check your front door.
Oh, God damn it.
That sounds awkward.
I'm kind of afraid.
I don't even know.
No. Just wait for it.
Oh, dude, if I'm going to get hit in the face by Gumby.
That would be so good. He just walks through a circle of tokens. Boom!
What happens?
What the hell is that?
Sorry, I killed him.
Signal interference right there.
What was that?
He's dead. Okay, sorry. I got too far away from my fucking computer. David's girlfriend just threw a fucking string cheese at me that says, "Go eat your cheese, nerd."
Wait, it's delivered.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's fucking glorious. I love it. My God.
That's sweet. That is so
I'm going to have to post a picture of that.
Did you
on
look
Twitter.
Down when you opened the door?
Yeah, I didn't trample over. I'm pretty sure that would be Sarah's birthday gift.
Yeah, that was
that's not for me. That is fucking glorious. All right, I'm posting a picture of this shit on Twitter for you guys to fucking see.
So we have recanted the exciting hours of your journey over and over, but You were there for more than the 4 hours you were on camera. It's a long weekend from the crash into civilization.
Crazy. That was all right, I'll start. Okay. We left Friday right after work. Like I left right after work. We wanted to go down to my friend Brian's in Victorville, which is it shortens our drive in the morning to get to the event. And the other thing is they have a larger store there, so we could get more testing in for their Friday Night Magic. So myself and two other guys, my friends Wayne and you guys know him as Xenagos, they were going to run the same deck. We had a few different card choices that we were all running on F&M to test and see what we liked. And so we went there, and I got the least testing out of everybody because for whatever reason, I won round one, and then my round two opponent for whatever reason had to go. So he conceded and dropped, so I didn't get to test round two. And then I lost round three. And then for whatever reason, their system like fucking dropped me from the whole tournament, or tried.
No way.
And so they entered the results manually and then tried round five and completely dropped me from the system to where they couldn't enter it. So they gave me a bye for that. So I ended up getting like fifth place or something. They just put me at the bottom of the bracket of whatever I would have gotten points wise. So I didn't get too much, testing in. But I got enough to know that I wanted to change a few things, and that we got to the final list that I ended up playing the next day. But, so we go home, it's like fucking 12:30 or 1 o'clock by the time we get back to Brian's house. I get a few hours of sleep before we wake up and head to LA. There's no problems getting there. So we get to LA, we go to the event center, register the deck, that's all fine. And the tournament starts out great. I play Jeskai Aggro round one, and that's a rough matchup, but I ended up pulling it out. I think I beat him 2-0. I have the score sheet somewhere, so I can use those to help write the article. But I beat him. Second match is Abzan, which is a fairly easy matchup. That's one of the easier matchups, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to play this deck, because this deck just rolls over Abzan and especially Sultai, and then it has a fairly good matchup against Blue-Black, which I was expecting to see quite a bit of.
Okay.
The bad news was is that it's one of its roughest matchups is Red-White, and that was out in force.
Yeah, it's a popular deck.
Yeah, well, I played it a total of two times outside of the top eight and beat it both times. The only decks I lost to throughout both days, day one, the only deck I lost to was Jeskai Tokens. And that felt kind of like 50-50. If they got their broken engine up and running, then you're there's screwed. Nothing you could do. They're eventually just going to kill you in one turn. I think his name was Gaston, and I made some dumb Disney comment, but he beat me, and then I racked off five more wins after that, and left day one at X and one, I think 8-1, I think there's 9 rounds, and I felt really, really good, because I could lose two times in day two and still make top eight, so I was like, all right, I gave myself a lot of leeway, and that helped, with my confidence standing, like I can make some mistakes tomorrow or, be tired or whatever else. But in my mind, I was like, I want to give myself the best chance to win. I just want to go out, have a few drinks, eat a nice meal, and then get some sleep. So we had a huge group that came down with us. It was Wayne and Xenagos and my friend Brian that were all in our vehicle. And then we had a couple other guys that went up on their own that were staying with friends in LA, Michael and Miles. And then we met our friend who's going to school up there, Jesse, and he brought a friend. And so we had this huge group. A couple of them ended up not going to dinner, but we were struggling to find a place we could go to dinner just because of stupid stuff. Like Wayne forgot his ID at home, so we couldn't go to anywhere that required an ID. And then we were just like, fuck it, we got this big suite at the Ramada, let's just order some food, we'll get some drinks, we'll relax. And we couldn't find any place that was delivering for whatever fucking reason past like 10 o'clock. So we're like, fuck it, we'll just walk from the hotel and we'll find someplace. Well, we were in Koreatown, and for whatever reason, people don't eat in Koreatown past 9 to 10. We finally walk down like two blocks. We find this place. It's got like decent reviews on Yelp, and it's like Raul's Mexican and Salvadorian restaurants. We're like, well, whatever.
It's a home run, man. It's a home run.
Oh, my God. Like, we walk in, and we almost walk directly back out. Like, there is just this dude, like – it was like an untalented version of Kevy if he was like Mexican or El Salvador. And he was karaoke music, and he had like aviators, like reflective aviators on, playing a guitar, like by himself, singing like the most iconic like 80s and 90s classics that you can think of.
Oh my God.
But horribly, just absolutely horribly. And so we sat down, we ordered our food, and the food ended up being fairly good. Whatever I ate, it did not agree with me. So we got back to that hotel around midnight, and me and the girlfriend, we had a little celebration, and hung out with the guys afterwards for a little bit, and then I went to bed. I woke up at 2:30 dying. Like, I felt like my insides were being, you know, decimated. And sure enough, they were. Well, I went in and I proceeded to shit my intestines out for about a half an hour. No joke. Just I thought I was going to shoot out both ends. Like, I was going to have to puke into the toilet for the first. And
there go half the new listeners we got.
Sorry about that, guys.
So it was really bad. Well, then I, you know, thought, okay, I think I'm done. I went to flush the toilet. It was completely clogged.
Of course.
Nice.
Yeah. So then I'm like, well, shit. And there's, you know, literally shit. There's four other people in the room with me. And it's like, you know, 2:30 or 3 o'clock. It was 3 o'clock when all this was happening. So I had to, like, throw a towel over the toilet because I just wanted to, like, try and hide the god-awful shit.
It helps to go to sleep if you throw a towel over it.
Yeah. Well, then I wrote a note like, sorry, guys, I got sick. Like, toilet's clogged.
He wrote a note that the toilet's clogged? I've never heard of this.
No joke, David. The only reason I'm interrupting this right now is no joke. Right before we started the cast, my cat threw up on the floor. My wife is gone. And I just took a paper towel and I wrote kitty puke and laid it over the top.
Hey, the Bluths have taught us always leave a note.
Oh,
yes. Leave a note. Everything
I left a note, and then I went and it was like, I got to try and get some sleep. So I lay down and I was like, oh, that's like, oh God, there's more. What do I do? So I ended up having to like get dressed, like wander through the hotel room because Britt and I had the bedroom. And try not waking the other guys up, go down to the lobby, find a bathroom, and proceed to do the same thing again for another half an hour. Finally, like 3:30, I'm like, all right, I think I'm done. I just need to get some sleep. If I sleep like now, I'll get at least, you know, maybe I can like knock out like 5 or 6 hours and I'll be okay. I go up to the freaking room and I'm just laying there, and for whatever reason, I cannot sleep. Like, my heart is just doo-doo-doo-doo beating like fast and like just through my chest. And I'm like, oh my God. I sat there for like 4 hours. I think I finally fell asleep like an hour before we woke up to get breakfast and everything. And I was just in my head at breakfast. I'm like, I'm going to die. Like, I'm going to have to play these rounds of magic and I'm going to just be like worn out, tired, exhausted, still not feeling all that great. And like, this is it, you know, but I was counting myself lucky because at like 3 o'clock in the morning, I was like, I'm not even going to be able to play. I got food poisoning or something and I'm going to go X and one and then just not even be able to show up. This is a nightmare. So I was like, whatever. I got to count my blessings. I still have most of my intestines. I can, you know, play magic and function. I'll go and do my best. So I went, I won round 10, pretty easily. I think I played, I opened up with, against Sultai, which is just like the easiest matchup. And so I was like, all right, cool. At least it's starting out lucky. I crushed him. And then round 2, I got paired up with, God, what was it? I think that might have been, when I got matched up with Abzan. It was the guy that ended up making top eight. It was Ken Shin, and he was undefeated going into day one. And I was like, all right, cool. Abzan's a good matchup. Sure enough, I 2-0'd him. He was very frustrated, but polite. He wasn't an asshole or nothing. But he was very frustrated because just the look on his face, because, you know, he sees Rabble Master and Shaman of the Great Hunt and a bunch of manifest tokens. So sure enough, like, he sideboards in like all of the Drowning Sorrows, all of the Vile Blights. I side that shit out. And so he's staring at like my Courser, my Caryatid, like Whisperwood Elemental, Arbor Colossus, and he's got all like a grip full of, you know, these removal spells that are suboptimal to say the least. So I ended up crushing him, and I was like, all right, cool. I started out X and 2. This is great. Well, then I get matched up with Nick something. He was the other undefeated guy playing Mono Red, and I was like, oh, well, this is going to be a rough matchup, but, well, you know, hopefully if I can take this down, I'll be pretty much a lock. Like, I'll you know, have to win, like, one of the next, like, four matches, and I can just draw in after that. I beat him game – I beat him one of the games, and game three, you know, if I would have drawn just a little bit better, I feel like I would have had the game. But he was able to dig back in. He played very well, ended up beating me. And I was like, okay, well, that was one of my losses. I'll be all right, you know. And then I got paired up with that blue-white heroic, and I was just like, fuck. Like, this is – if I had to say anything, like, that blue-white heroic is probably – it was the worst matchup, and especially because my sideboard was not the best for it. You know, I was like, all right, well, we'll see what I can do. Game one, I started out strong, and I was like, all right, cool. If I can get game one, I'll be on the play game three, and maybe with my sideboards, you know, with all the Glares of Heresy and, you know, Arc Lightnings and everything, I can, you know, run away with the game. And I punted a couple times in that matchup. I felt like, you know, I definitely should have won that. And so that's – more than anything, the match where I felt like I, you know, played suboptimally. Yeah. And punted the hardest. So I lost, and that put pressure on me because I only had like one more round to get the win and make top eight. And I was going to feel really shitty if I did that well and ended up just failing in the last few rounds to make top eight. And I ended up getting paired up against Chad White, who ended up winning, playing that red-white deck. And I was not a fan of him at first. Like, he just came across as, like, very arrogant. And, you know, I realize now that he was just pretty upset that he got paired down because he was X and 2. And if he got paired up with anybody with his own record, he could have just drawn into the top eight and been in very good shape. But instead, he had to play and potentially not even make top eight. And if he did, he was going to be on the draw. So I understood his frustration, and sure enough, I ended up taking him out in game three. I think he kept a pretty sketchy hand, and he drew pretty poorly, which ironically is what ended up happening to me in the finals. But, you know, I won, I got top eight. I think I was in fourth place, going into top eight. So I was just high enough to where I was going to be on the play for the quarterfinals. And I got paired up against, I guess this guy got banned or thrown out of Pro Tour, I think it was Honolulu, for beating a girl and telling her to go make him a sandwich. I don't know for 100% that that's true. What people were saying after I played him, he was polite enough to me, but that might be because I have a dick and he wasn't going to tell me. Like a sandwich, but
also you look like you were going to beat everybody's ass in your top eight photo. So
yeah, I think that probably might have affected his, you know, choice to talk shit to me.
Yeah, I would have liked to seen him be like, "Oh, hey, won't you go make me a sandwich, fucking Gumby?"
Yeah, he almost threw away game one. He made a very poor play in not blocking a Goblin Rabble Master token that was attacking his Sarkhan. Or maybe that was game two. I think I beat him game one, and then game two he almost let me win because him not blocking that gave me an extra token the next turn and also had his Sarkhan low enough that I was able to kill it on the crackback. And he didn't have enough damage on board to kill me, and then he would very clearly have died the next turn. But he drew a Wild Slash for Xaxes, and took me out in game two. And then game three, it got to this kind of convoluted board state, and He played a dragon or an outpost siege on dragons instead of Khans, and I think that was a mistake. But anyway, I ended up beating him and, you know, going into the semis, and that was when I got paired up against Chris Miller or something Miller. And I've played him before. I played him at GP Phoenix, and I'm pretty sure that he is the guy that I made, like, he got really frustrated. I think he drew pretty poorly, but he, like, conceded in game three on, like, turn two. But this match, he was perfectly fine. People were commenting on, like, his face and him getting salty, but he seemed a little tired, I think, more than anything. But he was perfectly.
He didn't have to shit for an hour in the middle of the night. Seems like you were at a big disadvantage.
Well, we don't know that. We don't have this guy on the cast. Yeah. We don't know if he had to shit for 2 hours in the middle of the night.
Touche. Yeah.
All I know is that I was lucky enough that I did not get paired up with anybody, or they were lucky enough that they didn't get paired up with me, and they were complete douchebags, because I really fucking hate that. And then that brings out the attitude in me, and I end up just becoming a complete and total dick and completely sarcastic. I will say Ken Shen, when I beat him in the Swiss, he was the first person that I have ever experienced that had a very large problem with the way I tap things. Apparently tapping it at 45 degrees is a major no-no for some people.
It's hard to keep the cards at that angle, man. Shit becomes untapped all of a sudden. You don't know what the fuck's going on. You're living on a fucking thread. You can't do this shit.
One of these weird anal people.
You gotta tap cards, fully tap, man. You can't be doing that no half tap shit.
And you know what? I can tell you this because Ken Shen asked me to do that and complained about it. And I said, "Judge, is this tapped? Like, this is clearly tapped." And he said, "Yes."
Oh.
So, no, you
I'm
do
the same
not
way. I tap that. Mine at fucking 45 degrees too.
Maybe like that's just sometimes. Maybe that's the ghetto crest way of tapping things.
Maybe.
But I will say that it's judge approved. Can tap like that, and you can
see. I tap like that when I start the night out, but the more I drink, the more I start tapping them all the way, I guess you would call it, because then it starts becoming confusing to me. So I can see both sides of the argument, but then I get to the point where I'm like, I should probably tap these all the way over because I don't even know what I've got tapped. Tapped.
I guess you're not diligent about it, but I think that's another reason why Ken Shen was quite upset. Like, for one, you know, I beat him and he was not happy about losing. But on top of that, like, I think he was upset that he would lost to some, you know, douchebag that was only
tapping his leg.
Yeah, half tapping, motherfucker.
45 degrees.
That shit only taps for half a mana, dog. You're still short.
You're definitely be playing with devised lands if you're going to go for that strategy.
Look, at least I'm not playing my lands in front, okay? That's
I was stoked that somebody brought up on the fucking in the Twitch chat that, like, that your lands are fucking sweet. Your basic lands are fucking sweet, because they are, because yeah, you like it. I are totally in to the fucking unglued lands.
Them is the best. Ugh. In my opinion, I wish that you could
unhinged, not unglued.
Yeah, no, it's the other way around.
Unglued greater than unhinged. They yes. are much nicer.
No.
Yes.
I mean, you're splitting hairs here. Right? They're both beautiful. The wrong choice overall.
They, seriously, for some reason, I think the reason I like them so much is because they are so fucking, like, kind of old school, basically. Like, they remind me of a Nintendo game. Like, just the way the frame is and shit, it just reminds me of an old Nintendo, like, NES game. So I think that's why I like them so much. They're retro. Like,
so, breaking news. Apparently, the PAX. It's breaking news. It's breaking news. It's breaking.
That was the breaking official breaking news sound, Kevin.
Okay, I get you.
That's why I'm breaking news. Apparently, there's a new pet.
Shit that I heard on Twitter earlier today.
No, there's a PAX pin of a new Sarkin.
Yeah. Oh, that's not breaking.
Isn't it?
News.
It's yeah, news to me.
News. That's some shit I heard on Twitter earlier today. God damn.
Well, it's new news to me, man. Sarkin Unbroken. So it looks like we're getting a new Sarkin in Dragons. That's
that is all. Holy shit. Breaking news. 50 Shades of Grey is going to be a worse movie than it was a book.
Yeah. It was horrible. No, this looks cool, man. It looks like he's got blue ghost fire hair and stuff.
David, did you finish your tournament report?
Sorry, Dave.
For the most part. I mean, we already talked about the, you know, the
fun stuff.
Where was the after party?
That's the thing. Like, this weekend was absolutely nutty, and not just because of the top eight. Like, everything that followed it was just, like, it was stupid. You know, we split the top four, so I ended up walking away with 2250. I think I would have gotten 3000 had I split in the top, you know, top two, or I would have gotten 3000 had I got second and no split.
I was looking at that, like, when you, like, I thought it said, like, on the fucking, on SCG's website, you get $2,000 for second, you get $5,000 for first. Is that, like, different?
Okay,
now?
Maybe that's it. So I either way, all four of the top four split, so we ended up all walking away with 2250.
Oh man, nice.
Which is
okay, cool.
Pretty fucking sweet.
Which sucks for the dude that beat you.
Yeah, but you know what? Fuck him, he beat me, so that's what he gets.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but he got the trophy, and you know, kudos to him. He played very well, and I don't dislike him. He was very respectful in his
His endeavors.
No grappling required.
Yeah, no grappling required. I thought I might have to based upon the Swiss match that we had. But I all things considered, I understood why he was a little frustrated. He got pared down. He got put in a situation that, you know, I've been in that situation where you have to play and there, you know, you thought you were in the clear. Because when I top eight at SCGLA a couple years ago, I ended up getting paired with the guy that was in absolute first place. He could have drawn with me and he would have been in great shape, but he's all, no, I want to play to, you know, for position. You know, I'm in either way, so I'm going to play for position. And it put me in the situation where, like, oh great, this guy's going to knock me out of the top eight. I thought I was a lock and he's going to be a douchebag. I ended up rolling him and he barely made top eight. So that was kind of like, you know,
justice,
but this guy, you know, I could understand his frustration because, you know, obviously I'm not going to draw in. I have to play to get into the top eight. He doesn't expect me to draw. So he was a little frustrated that he had to play, and I understand that looking back at it now. And he was very respectful in his winner's interview. You know, he complimented the deck and said he didn't want to have to play it and that I was the guy that beat him in the last round of Swiss and so on and so forth. So
cool.
Congratulations to Chad White. He was a great opponent, and, you know, He ended up being the winner, so it is what it is. But afterwards, I proceeded for the next like hour and a half to message and read all the tweets. I was laughing my ass off at the Heavy Metas, all their tweets, all their messages, all the screenshots. Like, I got a lot of outpouring of love from them when I, you know, did my first top eight in LA, but I was not a host of, you know, Heavy Meta. They were vaguely aware of me because of Vegas and because Kevy talked about me, and I think I had been a guest. No, I think my first guest was after that top eight.
I think so. I think it was we brought you on.
Yeah, I think it was
after
that top eight that you guys brought me on for. And so, you know, that was, I, you know, had like maybe 30, 40 people on Twitter that followed me. And even then, like, there was a strong, outpouring of support, and like, there was an absolute flood this time, and it felt amazing. And it was really awesome. All the people sending love and support. And, you know, even when I, you know, I'd lost and whatnot, they were, you know, just like, doesn't matter. You fucking made it so far. You know, it's awesome. Just, you know, keep going. And it really did help. It really helped me, you know, just tuck the loss under my belt and, you know, like, whatever, you know, pick yourself up, you know, fucking grapple the rest of these motherfuckers and, you know, get into the top eight.
Exactly.
So, no, like, in all seriousness, like, it really, really helped. It really got me to shrug off some of the mistakes I'd made. You know, I, like I said, I felt like I could have won at least game one in that blue-white heroic match. Like, I felt like I could have, you know, won a couple – one of the other matches I lost if I had played just a little bit tighter. You know, but their support and everything, like, really helped. And fucking – oh, God, it was so hilarious. Just all of the, you know, grapple them, make those nerds eat your cheese. Like, oh, grapple, grapple, grapple. Fucking Airzuka kept sending me all these wrestling memes and talking about,
so good.
You know – he made that shirt, the Gumby 16, grapple, 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 which has already fired on Teespring. So that's going to be a shirt, you know, so, like, it's just so awesome. All the stuff that they did and, you know, the love and support you guys are sending out minus, you know, TSG commenting on my AIDS-like sideboard. No, no, it definitely needed work.
Holy shit, is it bad? Oh my god. I can't deal with any early problems, which is totally what you lost to.
Well, now he knows. No.
Jeez, well, fuck you.
Support, you know, everybody but TSG.
Yeah,
you know.
Thanks for the support.
No, it very clearly needed some help, and I have updated the list to counteract that, and just a couple main board changes that I think makes it a lot stronger. But anyway, I, you know, like I said, the next hour and a half, I was glued to my phone, just reading all that, going back through everything, you know, because like I said, I was playing, so I couldn't check my phone, and I actually had to hand my phone away because it was just going crazy. You know, we went out and celebrated. We went to Casey's Pub, which is where we went on my birthday the last time we were at SCGLA. We had a great time. Like, I got a big ass steak dinner and drank a bunch of rum and cokes and had a great time. But after that, as we were getting ready to leave and go home, and I'm still on a high, well, we were coming out of the parking structure that we were in, and I was a little, you know, drunk and warm and a little congested in the car with everybody. So I went to roll down the window. It rolls down just fine. Well, oh, and, you know, FYI, it is downpour, you know, raining in LA at this point. Well, as we're coming out of the traffic, you know, or out of the parking structure, I was like, oh shit, it's raining really hard. I went to roll up the window and I hear window drops.
What?
Won't roll back. It completely goes out. And so I'm sitting there, we're driving home on the 15 and it's like windy and raining, just wind, rain is coming. Using a heavy meta sweat, a heavy meta sweater as a blocker to like keep the water from going back and hitting all of our cards and luggage in the back and like having to hold it there. We finally stop and go to a gas station where the attendant is freaking hilarious. Like, I walked in and all I heard was like, I'm going to have to get myself a bulletproof vest. He was talking to my friend about earlier in the week, some like crazy crackhead had come in and like walked out and lit himself on fire and was just walking around in the you know, gas.
That was me.
Yeah, it was Kevin.
That was Kevy. You know, and so we finally got like cardboard and plastic.
Sightings of the legendary fire shark is what I was doing.
So we, you know, ghetto fixed the window as best we could, and then I switched with Xenagos. He was lucky enough, he was nice enough to switch me so I could try and get some rest because I had to work the next day. And about 20 minutes into the drive, we're not even back to Victorville yet to where we can get into my nice new car, and the everything just falls apart and wind and water start flying in again. We're just like, oh my god, this is the weirdest end to this amazing weekend. But yeah, I wouldn't change it. Like, everything was crazy, but it was a lot of good memories. You know, I remember sitting in the freaking restaurant with that guy just like butchering these songs, and we're just laughing our asses off. So it was an amazing weekend, and I'm already planning on going to some more IQs and PPTQs, and I'm tuning the deck, and I actually hopefully will be streaming with the deck soon. My friend Brian put it together online for me, so I will be streaming with it shortly.
There you go.
So may even try and get some online PTQs in with it and see if I can't qualify for the Pro Tour.
Dude, for about that would be amazing.
For about 10 minutes after you fucking, like, after this whole ordeal on you with you on camera, I was like, son of a bitch, I'm kicking myself in the ass for not going, and I should have gone. But then I realized, wait a minute, it's Sunday night and I got to work in the morning, and this motherfucker is still playing Magic. He's not even getting in the car and coming home yet. So I was like, god damn it, I'm glad I didn't go with him this weekend.
I got back into town about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I'm so dedicated to this cause.
So how many Star City games, like, back rub points do you get for coming in second at one of these things?
You get a lot of points, but it doesn't matter. If you top 8, you're automatically invited to
invite.
Invitation.
Okay, so. Okay. Well, that would obviously be the follow-up question is, you know, what would it take for you to get to the Invitational? As I recall, and I'm a little removed from the situation, you have, like, some options of which Invitational to go to? Is that
you
the case?
You can go to one of the next 3 Invitationals, which is absolutely shitty, once again, because all 3 of them are on the
East Coast.
Fucking East Coast. And then the one I'm not qualified for is in Seattle. And I'm like, what in the actual fuck? Because Star City Games absolutely hates the West Coast, which it's understandable. They're East Coast. Channel Fireball's West Coast. You know, it's much easier to support all, you know, blah, 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 whatever. Fuck them. I love their company. Thanks for letting me play in your tournaments and whatnot. But God damn it, is it sucky that they, you know, it's so one-sided.
How far away, though? Like, how big's your window? Like, what would it take to get you to SCG next?
I think the next one is in Richmond, which is obviously way the fuck away.
But that's not really like a great tourist destination either. You know,
SCG New Jersey.
You don't want to do that one.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm trying to remember the
third
one.
Isn't that like Legacy too?
Two of the three are Legacy, and then the other one's Standard Modern, which is the one I would want to go to because I'm much more up to speed on Modern. I have Legacy decks, but
you go into a fucking Invitational, like you're gonna want to do something that you know well.
Yes, yes, and I would be able to test it much more so than Legacy. So I would want to go to one of the Standard Modern Invitationals. I think that would give me the best opportunity to succeed. So that's my goal, and obviously,
where's that one at?
I'm trying to like
the Invitational that you.
Here, I can look it up real quick because at first I thought that Seattle was going to be the third one that I was going to be able to go to, but that is not the case, sadly. Columbus.
Now you got to go top eight another one so you can make it to Seattle.
Columbus, Ohio is the closest one of the next three.
And is that is that one Modern and Standard split, or is that Legacy Standard split?
Gosh, I'm trying to find that one on here.
All of this will be edited in post.
No, I won't.
I fill the dead air with these words.
I think Columbus is one of the ones that is Modern Standard. So I think Columbus is my best bet, which is, you know, I'm not excited to go to Columbus. But that being said, Richmond, Columbus, New Jersey, Seattle, none of those are very exciting destinations.
Columbus is number two pick overall.
It's Seattle being the first.
Yeah, Seattle's not bad.
Yeah,
right.
Well, for one, it's the first pick in my point because it's the closest, and like I could theoretically drive there. It's a shitty drive. I've been once, but it is the closest, and Columbus is the second closest, and also probably
the one that you actually are qualified for.
No, I'm qualified for Richmond, Columbus, or New Jersey. I can pick either.
That's what I'm saying. Like, out of that in Seattle, like Columbus is the one that you qualified for, or is in the span. So that
I've qualified for an invitation. But the other thing is I have enough points that I think I'm qualified for another one.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how exactly it works. I think it might just be within that same season that the points actually matter. So if I wanted to, I could probably go to Richmond off of points, and then I could go to Columbus off of my top eight of SCG. I'd have to talk to them to know for sure. But I do know that the top eight allows me to go to one of the next three invitationals.
Right. I get you.
So I do definitely want to make that happen. It's just, you know, the issue is I have work. I have kids. I got a lot of other stuff. It's not cheap. And, you know, yes, I did win a decent amount of money on this tournament. But, you know, I am pretty much already figured out that I get a jump start on getting my house fucking fixed up with this money. So we'll see. I'm going to try and make it happen. I definitely want to go. I was a little upset that the way things turned out last time, I was unable to go to the Invitational I qualified for. So
wasn't that one Vegas or something?
Yeah, there was one in Vegas, and then I forget what happened that I was unable to attend it. I think everybody that I was planning on going with and sharing the room and everything bailed on me last second, and I couldn't afford to go. So yeah, it was really upsetting. So I definitely I want to go. I've always been a tournament player. I love playing tournaments, but when you do well like this, and you know, especially with your own brew. Like, that's what's made me the happiest.
Oh, yeah.
The most success playing my own decks. Like, you know, the top eight, the first top eight I made, that was, Skunk in a Blender. That was my own deck. I built it. I didn't have any help. You know, nobody else was playing it. and I made top eight, and I felt like I should have won that tournament. I punted really hard in the quarterfinals, even, you know, the announcers were just like, you know, if I feel like his deck is favored, he's got so much sideboard hate for the decks that are here, you know, it's well suited. And I just punted, and, you know, I was like, whatever, you know, I'll pick myself back up and whatever else. Well, then I took Naya tokens to SCG Vegas, and I went X1-1. I felt like I was a lock for top eight, ended up missing by 0.2%, but I did really, really well. And that was my own fucking deck. And now I took Naya midrange, which has not been a deck on anybody's radar. It was something that we put together the week before the tournament. And tested very, very little. It was all just, like I said, Magic Theory, which is what I work off of mostly because I don't get a lot of testing in. And, you know, I ended up almost winning the damn thing. So I'm definitely really, really motivated and wanting to, you know, get out there, qualify for the Pro Tour, you know, win an Invitational, you know, really, you know, get my feet in the deep end and get my name out there. So we'll see if I can make it happen. If not, either way, it's an amazing experience, and it won't detract at all. But I am definitely going to try and build on this.
You did.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that this is a great opportunity to kind of talk about the deck itself, because people are going to be listening to the cast. They're going to be like, I'm going to play fucking David's deck. I want to play something that no one else is playing out there, that no one's going to expect, especially with fucking manifest some cards, gain infinity life.
Unless they watch.
If you were going to give.
Unless they watched the fucking.
The game.
Yeah, but they want to know how you came to this.
I've already been very, very surprised by all of the buzz that the deck created. It was on a Mana Source YouTube video. They were talking about the second place deck. You know, they kind of like brushed past the first place deck. They're like, whatever, red, white, everybody knows it. Fucking who cares? And then they talked about my deck and kind of broke it down. And he did one of the better jobs, because a lot of people were talking about, you know, like TSG, like, oh God, it's good, this creature deck that's got End Hostilities in it. What the fuck is this? It works really well because of, one, you've got two planeswalkers that are armies in a can, and two, you have a playset of Whisperwood Elementals, and so if that one's out
that's
on the board,
an army in a can too,
board and just reset, because all of the manifests come in for the face-up non-token creatures, which you can do at end of turn, at end of their turn, and then untap with all these face-up creatures and wipe your board and their board, and then you reset with like 5-6, you know, manifest creatures that there's a good chance one or two of them you can unflip a Whisperwood Elemental or a Shaman, which I ended up taking out of the main deck, but a solid threat, and then they completely take over the game. So I felt like the deck was really good. It obviously had some weaknesses, and that being I geared it more towards mid-range and control, which I thought were going to be more popular, and red-white was out in force, as so was Jeskai.
So here's the question that a lot of people have. So based on red-white being more popular, what would you do to the deck? What are the changes you would make?
Okay, I've already made the changes. The biggest changes was, like, Rabble Master is an amazing creature, but it's really, you know, aggro-oriented. It's beatdown plan-oriented. It works well with Purphoros and whatnot, but a lot of times it just gets removed. It doesn't block very well, and this deck is built to win in the long game. So I took the Rabble Masters out. I added a card that I think is going to make that matchup a lot better. If anything, it's just going to soak up an early Chain to the Rocks, and then one of your bigger creatures later is going to survive. But Hornet Nest, which also plays really well with everything that the deck is doing, because it stonewalls ground creatures. They don't want to attack into it. Or it soaks up a relevant removal spell like a Hero's Downfall, a Murderous Cut, or a Chain to the Rocks. And it's really, really surprising when you unmanifest that motherfucker and block like a fucking
huge guy, know, right? Like a Pelucranos or something.
Exactly. And if Purphoros is out, it generates a shit ton of damage.
By the way, can I just say, Purphoros is my favorite. I love that guy.
Purphoros is my favorite card in Magic.
It's so good. And with like Mentor and Rabble Master and anything that's making tokens, and just like how you were using it was so good. I was like, wow. Awesome.
It's really, really versatile, and it crushes mid-range and control. They can't deal with it. You know, the one weakness is that, you know, aggro that almost always gets sided out because it's never going to what you need it to do. It's way too slow. It doesn't block, whatnot. But, you know, that's fine. I don't mind. That's, you know, an easy side out and bring in something that's relevant. But the Hornet Nest, the other thing, we took out the Shamans. They, you know, they die too easily. And a lot of times, like I said, you're built to be defensive and then take over the game with Perforos and whatnot. So we took out the two Shamans. We put in what I think is just a strict upgrade and is going to be so much more versatile in Teamer Sabretooth, because now you have a lot more flexibility and you can, like, say, you know, you manifested an important spell, you can bounce it and get that back to your hand. You can also abuse enters the battlefield triggers with Perforos and stuff. You can keep bouncing your creatures and replaying them. And so it, and also it's very, it's, you can brick wall big creatures because you can make it indestructible. And a lot of the red white removal just does nothing to it. So, those are the biggest changes in the main board. The sideboard, we added a couple Nylea's Disciples, works really well with Sabretooth. It works really well, you know, to shore up the aggro matches, gains you a lot of life and buys you a lot of time.
So it sounds like you're going more green.
The deck is already very, very green. And most of the cards that we took out, like, I took out the two Shamans for the two Sabretooth, and I took out, the Rabble Masters for another Xenagos and three of the Hornet Nests. And then the one that I'm not sure about is whether I want to take out the two Polychronos for two of the Nylea's Disciples main board, because you can gain a crap ton of life with that, bouncing it over and over with Saber. But I think that Polychronos is just better in ups. So, and you can still bounce him and then reset his monstrous.
Ooh,
With, you've got room in the sideboard for more life gain tricks if you really, really need it. I think you're already
the other big thing is the Arc Lightnings are now Anger of the Gods. That's just better. I don't care about wiping away some of my small creatures, but in the matchups where it really matters, you just need to get rid of the fucking creatures. And then the other thing is I took out I took out the two Nissas because I never really needed them. The matchups where they're great were already well positioned. And I took out, what the fuck else did I take out? Basically I added in a couple Wild Slashes for some early spot.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was thinking that you just needed some fucking Lightning Strikes, but instead of those
Wild Slash, but because there's so many tap lands, I went with Wild Slash because
it makes sense. I mean, you're replacing the Arc Lightnings with the legitimate Earthquake for three is a lot better. I mean, watching the Arc Lightning plays from over the weekend, it was like, man, that shit needs to cost less mana and be an instant one way or another. So as long as you got some Wild Slashes in there.
Yeah, I threw a couple Wild Slashes in there. I added another Perforos and another Mastery of the Unseen because those cards, like I said, are absolutely unstoppable in the decks, against the decks that you want them. I don't know how many times, like, I cast Mastery of the Unseen, and one, my opponent didn't know what to do, what it did, and then two, after they read it, the look on their face of, like, oh, shit, like,
how do I stop that?
Yeah, no, my blue-black opponent, just straight up, he's like, read it, he's all dissolve, and then the next turn, I was able to land a Rabble Master, and he was just like, fuck, you know, and it just puts them, it attacks from so many weird angles that control matchups, they're the way they handle threats, they can't handle all of them. Like, you know, you saw it in that one matchup. The guy played Ugin and I just kind of sat there and stared at it. Like, that's not.
Yeah, well, I love the announcers are like, oh my God, did he just ultimate Ugin and it doesn't matter on this board?
Yeah, and David just, like, does David really care if Ugin ultimates? And they're like, no, I don't really think he gives a shit at this point.
David can just shrug his shoulders.
Just shrug his shoulders.
Sure enough, I knew he was going to get an Ugin when he freaking, you know, Genesis Hydra'd for 10. And I was just like, whatever, he can't get anything. Like, the only card that was a worry in the early game was Crater's Claws. And I know he's out of those, so play Ugin all you want.
Was it a different game when he ultimated Ugin and then forgot to use
the same fucking... Well, he didn't cash the seven permanents.
And I could have prevented him from ultimating. And that was another thing I know, like, flack for when people were on the comments. They're like, oh, he needs to, like, flip Perforos and, you know, prevent him from ultimating. I could have done it. I saw the play. I just didn't care. And then he ultimated it, and Ugin was on one. And then I was like, all right, it's one activation to get, you know, Ugin off the table and stop him from getting, you know, incremental card advantage. So that's what I did. You know, I did one of the Perforos triggers at Ugin, and then I started throwing him at his face. What was unfortunate is I think round 5 or 6 was my first feature match, and I was at Elspeth, and I was the same matchup. It was me versus Green Red Devotion, and a very, very similar board state started happening. But the issue was he didn't have Whisperwood Elementals. So we got to this ridiculous board state where I had a bunch of life and a bunch of fucking creatures, and he couldn't get through. And I sacked Whisperwood Elemental with a Purphoros out, End Hostilities, and just murdered him in one turn. Like the look on his face, like going, "What the fuck just happened?" It was priceless. Oh god, it was so funny. The other thing is, like, people aren't used to playing against Purphoros; they don't realize it has another ability. Yeah, I mean, it was much more potent. Oh yeah, it was much more potent in my Naya tokens list, but a lot of times with all these manifest, you know, and mana dorks, you know, I've plussed Xenagos, added a shit ton of mana, pumped them like 4 times, and then attacked with like 2 more pumps on the stack if I need it, and they just look and they realize they don't have enough creatures to block, like they're completely dead. And you know, they're like stare at my Purphoros, but you know, most of the time, the one I have out is my foil, Japanese one. So they're just like, "What?" I was like, yeah,
"What's that do?"
That pumps. It's 1 red, 2 colorless, and it gives.
Oh no, I meant like the foil Japanese one. They're all, "What's that do?"
Like, I'm gonna pump all my creatures 4 times. They're like, "With what do you mean? What, pump them?" And I was like, "Yeah, Purphoros." And they're just like, "Oh fuck." I know that they feel too, because that's the way I felt when I got Stormbreath Monstrous on me, and I was just like, I should have played my fucking land. God damn.
God, I hate when people play the foreign language cards, because then you just, you know, you just forget. You're not reading cards and shit.
Isn't that being funny?
It's a form of advantage, yeah. To be honest with you. Like, it really is.
Then all of his cards were foreign, and he can read them. So, you know, what was funny is in that quarterfinal match, when he played Ugin and he was about to ultimate, I figured I knew what it did, I wanted to read it just to make sure, and his Ugin was foreign, and I picked it up, and it was like, I put it back down right away because it was foreign, but on the commentary, they're like, "What's this do? I don't care."
Yeah, I know, that was so good. Yeah, he doesn't care. He doesn't even care.
I had to like refer to the judge, and he had to look up the card, but it came across as fucking hilarious.
Oh man, well, congratulations, dude. I think you played awesome and huge amazing.
Absolutely. See, everybody thinks Maddie's the fucking the genius behind this cast, but see, I decided I wanted to get David Moline on this fucking cast because I knew he was gonna bring us credibility one day.
Damn right, man. That's okay.
At least
to the point
where they can't say like, "Oh, they're all bad at Magic," and we're just like, at some point, well, you understand that it's blind luck.
Yeah. Hey, a couple of us are, but that's been a couple of us are real good.
I'm still waiting for TSG to get back in the tournament scene.
I'm bugging him every day, man. I'm gonna get him back in there.
Well, when we get a little further down the show notes, I will convey some of the findings I have had over the weekend. Ooh, again, yeah. Maddie's more serious.
Yep, I. So as everybody knows, Friday, Saturday, I don't even know. Last week, sometime, I went down to Face in the middle of a like horrible snowstorm, because I went outside. I'm like, "Ah, it's just a couple of flakes coming down, looks fine." So the kids wanted to go down, so I brought all my binders of stuff that I was like, I don't even play this stuff anymore. It's just sitting around, and I really wanted to build some finish out Team Geist and maybe even like hopefully have a little bit extra cash to buy something else. So I threw all the binders down there. And, holy shit. They just start going through them. They're like, "Are you kidding?" And I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "This is going to take like 3 hours. I'm like, "Okay." My kids are playing. I'm like, "I'm here. I'll have a coffee. It'll be great." So they ended up going through stuff and like, "How much do you want to buy?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Just keep pulling until I say stop." And, so I had to get a couple of cliques and a few other things. It came to about like $300. So I was like, "I hope I have enough for that." And about an hour later, I was like, "So, do I have enough to cover the, you know, the couple of cliques and the remands and things that I wanted?" He's like, "Oh, we're well over that." And I'm like, "Well, how much more are you over?" He's like, "Well over." And I'm like, "Well, give me an idea." He's like, "Why don't you just buy a place at a Gois?" And I'm like, "What? I have that much?" And then I was like, "Well, hold on a minute. I had no plan on getting Gois." at all. And then they're just like, those bastards at FaZe, they're such good salesmen because they're like, well, here, check it out. Mint, gem mint, you know, with turquoise, never been touched. And I'm like, oh, they're so pretty, right? And they just put it on the counter and like, we're going to leave these here. And so I ended up snagging them and a bunch of other stuff. So I am, I'm pretty excited. I have almost 5 modern decks built.
You have fucking Goyfs now.
Oh,
pissed,
dude.
Because I don't.
I got Goyfs, Kevy.
Yeah.
Oh,
I have one.
I know you do, but that's one of those cards.
You got
that's
a shiny
one of those cards
too,
where it's
huh?
like, when I'm yeah. all, hey, David, I want to fucking test out a fucking deck, or I want to fucking play the deck. Like, I don't want your Goyfs, man. I don't want that kind of responsibility.
My friend Wayne borrowed my Sneak and Show deck for the Legacy tournament on Sunday. Watching him hold the deck box, he's just like, oh, God. And he's like looking around. I was like, you know,
just
I was,
like walk around holding it out in front of you.
You with physical violence, but I can see the look on your face. Like, you already know the danger that you're in, you know, holding that thing. But that brings me to an interesting thing, because the first time when I won top 8, I only won like $300, but I was like, well, what do I do with this? So I want to get like some cards that I really want that I would never pay for normally. And so I ended up getting my play set of Force of Wills with my $300 that I won, you know, from that top 8. Well, this time I won a lot more money, and I'm just like, well, shit, like I want to buy some cards that I normally would not buy, but I don't want to spend it all, but I'm like, do I get shinies for my cube, or do I get like, you know, legacy cards that I want but I have never gotten before, that, you know, like I have most of the legacy cards that I was really interested in, for the most part. I ended up getting my Wastelands and whatnot for finishing Legacy Jund, and so I have 3 full legacy decks put together. One of them being Burn, Kevy. So if you ever wanted to actually play, and
one of these days,
really close to having Blue Black Tezzeret put together.
Ooh.
So I have to figure out what the fuck I'm gonna do with the
money.
What
you're gonna spend your fucking monies on?
Well, the money that I've allotted for Magic.
Right, for Magic cards. No, and like, see, I think that's where it gets kind of weird, because you got to look at it like this. It's like, I think, you know, cube shinies are always a good thing. I mean, that's an investment in itself, because I mean, a lot of those cards that you're gonna buy for your cube are gonna just be like an investment. You're gonna take care of it anyway, and it's not, you know, you don't have to buy fucking 4 of them, which is always nice. But then, like, the way I look at it, at least, like, with your collection and the way you do fairly well with, like, you know, you're smart about it. You buy the boxes that you know you need to when they're available. You know, like Modern Masters, shit like that. You're like, all right, I've already fucking requested the – or, you know, I've already fucking reserved the boxes, the most boxes I can get. And then, like, you've got your fucking awesome fucking collection and trade binders that you actively trade up in. And so, like, I, you know, as far as like standard modern staples and shit like that, like there's not really anything you need to spend your money on, because you're going to end up like, you know, you can trade into that shit, or you'll buy one here or there if you're going to use it, that kind of thing. And you're good with that kind of shit. I think that fucking maybe cube staples or fucking, you know, legacy vintage staples is the next place you need to go.
I don't think I'm ever going to get into vintage. Yeah. Like, it's just, like, I'm not going to do it. It's not played enough to warrant spending that much money on it.
Right.
And you're right. Like, I don't look at it other than Boggles in Modern that I don't have the cards for.
Right.
So, like, I don't need to invest in Modern. Like, I can put together pretty much any Modern deck I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't put, like, all of them together at once. But, you know, for the most part, I think 4 Scapeshifts is the only card that I can think of that keeps me out of a deck that I might actually play.
Ever consider, like, you know, I know you like not playing vintage, but would you ever consider like getting into Power and shit for like an investment side of things? Or just
I would consider getting one of each for my cube, but other than that, no. Mm-hmm. And even then, like, I can't really bring myself to buy the actual cards when I can very easily have the proxies done up. And it's, you know,
very, very nicely. And it doesn't.
I'm just going to say this. My proxy power is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. I just
have
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Like, I'm very happy with my cube, even though I had to...
Foxy sent me the most fucking gorgeous Mock Sapphire and Ancestral Recall, and, you know, I would much rather just have him eventually finish proxying up the Power 9 and having that in my cube than, you know, spending... You know, obviously TSG can attest for this. What I could spend buy a new car for,
right?
You know, on getting,
well, yeah. That's what it comes down to, and it, like that's where the, you know, shit gets into a gray area. Of course, we've talked about this a bunch before, but you know, mine, like, you know, my power in my cube I got from Ferret. You know, they were like some of Ferret's test fucking printings of it, but that's the power that I have in my cube. Yeah, they're a little fucking dark and I'd like to upgrade them a little bit, but not enough that I could literally like repair part of my house or, you know, buy a fucking car for, you know, but I even like with Proxy's fucking, you know, the dual lands that we both have, the fucking unglued dual lands we both have, they're fucking gorgeous. And you know what? Like, yes. Certain Magic players are going to see if you've got the actual fucking dual lands in your fucking cube, or, if, or, you know, one step further, you know, if you've got the actual power, like actual real fucking Power 9 in your fucking cube, they're going to be like, oh my fucking God, that's fucking crazy. I've never held a card this fucking expensive before. But you know who, like the rest of the people are going to be like, oh shit, those are fucking awesome. You know, as long as they're, you know, proxies that are done right, they look good. They're like, holy shit, like I get, you know, I get all sorts of fucking compliments about the like proxy guys fucking dual lands, as opposed to like, oh, the expensive cards in my cube. So
the other side of that argument too is like I'm already nervous bringing my cube around. Like I can't imagine TSG's like fucking anxiety level when he's got his cube somewhere and you know people are playing with it.
I would literally bring my handgun everywhere.
Exactly. Like,
TSG is surprisingly nonchalant about it. I don't think he cares. He's just like, whatever.
I mean, the point of him are to be played with. If you can't do that, then
I'm not talking about playing with it. I'm not nervous about people just playing with it. I'm talking about the risk of it being stolen.
Right. I mean, the fear is real and the concern is real. You have to surround yourself with
Glock is real.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you guys were there in Portland. It's not like we were like gallivanting around with the cube. It was in very very set places to do very set things with.
Right.
Well, yeah, obviously you're going to do everything you can to mitigate those concerns, but those concerns are still there, or at least for me. Like, you know, My cube is...
You've got a cube that's that expensive, and, like, yes, everybody in the SVU has proven themselves to be fucking awesome. Everybody we've hung out with has proven to be fucking awesome. But, you know, we also have nights like, you know, a Saturday night at the fucking GP where everybody's partying, everybody's having a good old fucking time, and different people get introduced to the fucking group of people. And it's like, oh, cool, you know, you're awesome. Now, not that TSG's just got his fucking expensive-ass cube laying out on the fucking table on the fucking porch. It is very well guarded, but I mean, it's not a far stretch for somebody to realize who you are, and somebody with fucking loose morals that are looser than mine to be like, oh man, I got fucking mouths to feed, I got a fucking mortgage to pay, I'm gonna fucking walk off with this thing and disappear into the night, you know, like it is a definite fucking risk that, like, you know, TSG has to mitigate the fucking – like, he has to fucking dredge those waters and be like, oh, okay, well, these are the places I'm going to bring my cube out. These are the places I'm not. And, I mean, that seems like a fucking hell of a thing to have to fucking deal with.
It is at the point of diminishing returns. It is definitely where it's like it's more of a fiasco to have to deal with than you would choose to. And again, if I was to start this process – today, I wouldn't go through all the energy to have all these original cards in there because when I started, obviously the world was different. So I wouldn't choose to do it.
Right.
And the reality of the situation for me is that once the student loans come a knocking, I pretty much have to sell the thing to get my life back on track. So
I'm only gonna
have it as it is for so much longer, and that leads to this awkward duality of it's like, well, you know, I want to get out there and play with these things, but I'm not gonna have the luxury to kind of put this thing away in a safety deposit box for the next 30 years. But you know, that's why events like Vegas are so special, because that is the time when we get to play.
Yeah, I agree, and it's like I love playing my cube. I wish I could play it more. But like I was saying, like I'm not going to go and spend that much money putting this power into it and making it that much more of an anxiety issue when people are playing with it. You know, and so like I'm pretty set on my cube. Like any of the newer cards, I don't have any problem. I got most of the foils of any of the cards that I want. And I'm not too concerned about getting those. It's like the older cards, I've slowly acquired, and I've gotten, you know, them foil if I can, or just the originals if I can. I think one of the most recent upgrades is when they came out with that Judge Vindicate. I was like, oh shit, that made it like a lot cheaper to foil out my Vindicate. So I was able to do that.
Fuck that. You gotta get that fucking, that Judge foil Elishnorn.
Oh god, that would be so sexy.
You can't get all cheap and shit. You gotta get that Judge foil Elishnorn.
What I was leading into is like one of the things that I was thinking about getting, is finishing like foiling out my Sneak and Show, because most of the cards in that deck, especially now that Gristlebrand is a GP promo, there's foils and promos of it. So like I have all the promo Jataxian Probes in it. I have the promo Emrakul's in it. I've got one promo Gristlebrand so far, thanks to Marcel. And I've got a couple of the promo sneak attacks, and so I'm like, I'll get the promo Show and Tells.
That'd be
and,
sweet.
You know, yeah. Just the problem that with that is the promo Force of Wills are like $800 a piece. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
No, you know what you could do? You could just fucking like you could motivate with that fucking money that you won by doing very well at the SCG tournament. You could just get me 4 Judge promo Lightning Bolts and motivate me to go out to Modern tournaments with you.
I've given you an entire deck that still was not motivation enough.
I know, it still hasn't motivated me to do shit, but
like I put together a deck for you that you were interested in to play Standard with, and it still has not gotten you off your ass. I could use those fucking Storm Breath Dragons.
You know what? You need to come get those Storm Breath Dragons, because like I think what needs to happen more than anything, to be completely honest with you, is like to motivate me more, is like you and I need to play fucking actual Magic together. Because every time you and I hang out, we end up playing Cards Against Humanity with the fuck girls, or like we play Booze Cube, or you know, some shit like that. Like you and I need to actually sit down together and play some fucking Magic matches, and that might actually motivate me to do it.
I'm down, and like I said, you know, I'm more motivated than ever. So like Wayne, he's been looking at you know, the upcoming weekends and different IQs and PPTQs and stuff that we can go to. So
every time I play actual real fucking Magic against David, it's actually very rare. Like, the only times we ever play are at pre-releases. Well,
speaking of sad. What you can do with $800, or someone that wants to play a lot more Magic, I thought for sure, after last week and me getting disconnected from the world and the internet, that I would not get to have the soliloquy that was ending my short-lived run of attempting to do a little crowdfunding for Grand Prix Toronto. I thought for sure 2 weeks of saying, no one wants to fucking see me at home. Why the fuck would anyone care? We can just close the book on it and move on with our lives. But no, a handful of dedicated people out there have pushed the boulder down the hill, and I'm working on getting my fat ass out there. So, because of
you know what it was? You know what it was? There's like 4 people that wanted to get you out of the country. I'm kidding, TSG. I fucking love you, but you opened the door. So That's true.
Well, they opened the door to keep this campaign rolling. So I have to bring it up now, and hopefully one of these days the link will make the show notes inside the website, so that will be very helpful for people, because
look, man, you want me to
calling out Maddie Studios,
crap, you want me to edit this thing, record this thing
under the bus,
god, do the artwork for the thing and add show notes. Jesus Christ.
Like everybody thinks Maddie's the top 8 of the fucking community. This guy doesn't even edit our own show. He just fucking lets it roll.
I will put it in. I will try. Actually, I'm not going to promise nothing. If it gets
don't promise.
That's what you do it, Maddie. And that's the Maddie that I know and love that started this fucking thing and then got me into it. And we started Heavy Meta. Is, you know what? Maybe I'll think about it, but I'm going to be honest with you. It's probably not going to happen. And that's how Heavy Meta began, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? fuck it. We're going to get drunk on Wednesday night, so we're going to talk a bunch of shit about Magic, and we're going to forget about it till Friday when it comes out. And then we're going to listen to it again and be like, oh, shit, I did say that. And then we'll move on to the next week and not give a shit.
The best was the first couple episodes where we promised something we're going to do next week and then totally just ignore that we ever said that and just do it. Like, every week, hey, next week we're doing this. And then people are like, I thought you were doing this. Nah, fuck that. We're not doing that anymore.
Fuck that. No, and that's how the first couple of, like, speaking of which, we should probably do a contest one of these days soon. I'm not saying, like, tonight or anything because I have no ideas, but we should do another contest because that's how, like, some of our contests have been pretty fucking successful. People have had a lot of fucking fun with them. And that's how I think the first couple of our contests happened. We're like, we should totally fucking have contests that, like, we do. That, like, we're drunk in the middle of a podcast, and we're like, we should have a contest that we all make a Boost Cube card, except for it's got to be this. And that. And then all of a sudden, the people that listen to our fucking podcast are like, oh, shit, that's a good idea. And they kind of jumpstart the fucking contest. We're all, oh, man. We got a contest going now. We should probably figure this out. And we did. So, you know, like, that's the good old days of heavy meta when we just had no idea what we were doing. We were just yelling at the fucking microphone. And then we'd have a contest. Yeah. So we should bring that back and do a contest soon.
Well, I wish I could make a contest for this trip to Toronto. I'm open to ideas. Obviously, I've been getting shit on for not doing a 24-hour stream like a particular Mac of Scotty's. And I tried to explain that I don't have those resources right now, but I'm trying to find other outlets.
How awesome would it be if you're doing a stream and, like, the moving van shows up and just starts moving you out of your house and, like, hey, what's going on? You're trying to, like, click through things. And a mover's like, hey, man, can I have that chair? And then you're just, like, squatting on the ground, like, oh, that would be awesome. I'd pay to watch that.
You know what you need to do, TSG, in the Magic community is, like, fucking, I mean, I know you've gotten a bad name at times, but you know what? Fuck them all. You are this ridiculous fucking resource of fucking Magic knowledge. What you need to do is start fucking, like, auctioning off, like, hey, I'll hang out with you for an hour on fucking Skype, and I will teach you how to play. I will play fucking cube with you. Like, you can jump on the mono cube and I will just fucking bird the match and I will make you fucking win and I will make you a better Magic player. That's
what
you
I can do that. Slick would owe me some money.
Half of Slick's winnings all go to TSG.
Telling you, you just bring that fucking knowledge.
Well, speaking of
that all sounds well.
Speaking of horrible MTGO news, apparently there's Tempest Remastered. Woohoo! Who's excited? Oh, who's excited?
Is that nobody? Dude, I just got a big giggle out of that.
Can I just say this? Like, I honestly didn't read that there was a Tempest Remastered the other day, and someone tweeted, I'm like, what is that? Is that a joke? They're like,
let's just revamp some old shit instead of making our.
I'm like, why would they call it Tempest? This is so gay. And I go, it's a real thing. Uh-oh. Wow. I don't know, dude. I think that's...
No, it's like, to me, it's just like, oh, hey, man, fucking, you guys like that? Like, Tempest? Like, let's fucking... let's reboot Ghostbusters. Let's make another fucking Ghostbusters movie. But we're just going to use the same cameras that they did and the same actors and fucking... Like, it just... Like, you could be spending the fucking time, effort, money, whatever, that you did to revamp fucking Tempest on making this fucking client.
I mean, I like the idea of putting new art, fixing the borders, changing the templating, and, you know, like, really editing, like, some of the more broken and cards that didn't fix, you know, didn't work right. I get it. It's smart. It's cool. But you're going to release it 2 weeks before Modern Masters. Who fucking cares? Like...
Yeah, there's also that. There's just this fucking terrible, terrible timing.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they feel that the people are going to play that.
I thought of you and TSG when they announced that, I thought of you and TSG being fucking livid about the fact that we didn't get the spoilers that we should have. We have a bunch of shit coming up. Like, you know, we have fucking Dragons coming out. We have Modern Masters coming out. We've got fucking, like, no data sheet for fucking Dragons. We've got... barely any fucking spoilers for Modern Masters, and this shit is all coming up, like, right now, like, coming up in the next couple months, and yet they're, instead of giving us, like, some of that information, they're like, oh, hey, we're doing something else on Moto that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
Like,
It just feels to me like I've said this, and I think I've finally come to the realization, you know, I bought into the Vintage Masters hype. Me and Marcel, you know, blew a bunch of fucking money, which I really regret wasting that money now. But, you know, yeah. And okay, this is going to be awesome. So many people are going to play that, you know, it'll be great. And it's fucking boring as shit. There's like 10 guys that have decks that crush you, and that's it. And it's the same. It's just, I don't find the format interesting. I don't find it challenging in terms of either you get blown out or you don't. I just don't like it. Oh, man, I'm so disappointed with it. And I feel like they're just trying to be like, let's try this again. And it's going to fail again. And I agree with you, Kevy. Stop with this bullshit and fix the goddamn fucking client. Like, enough.
Yeah.
Get it fixed. Let's get this rolling. And who can't, like, oh, dude, I just, the release of these things make my mind just wonder who's sitting, you know, Bob in the frickin' marketing room there, but like, all right, let's do this.
Well, literally, it's the same. It's fucking Moto Steve. It's Moto like, Steve. He's just fucking overpressured. Like, well, I mean, like, what it comes down to is, like, really, like, seriously, that is what, like, the fact that that even crossed their mind. The fact that, like, with the current state of fucking Moto, yeah. With fucking ridiculous bugs that are happening, like, it, you know, with fucking the system crashing, them not being able to support the fucking tournaments that people are trying to fucking play in. Like, fix the shit that's going on now. If you can't support what is going on, stop even fucking releasing anything on Moto. For fuck's sake, I would care more about you fixing Moto than don't release the next fucking block. Don't even do it. Don't even release those on Moto. I would rather play from what we have now back.
Well, that's never gonna happen.
Well, on Moto. Well, I know,
but
it's never
going
to
happen.
But I
hear you're saying. You got to focus.
But Jesus Christ. Like, think about it from an outside point of view. Like, I would rather just stop production on fucking Moto. Don't go further with any more cards until you can make the cards that everybody's been able to play in cardboard and work really well. All these fucking Magic Pros, you know, fucking Vintage Super League and shit like that. Like, you focus on shit like that, yet you can't have those cards that have been around for fucking decades. You can't get those to work right on your fucking client, but you're trying to fucking add more. You know what?
No, it's all good. They got a list.
Yeah. Didn't?
Yeah, they've got a list buried somewhere that like that, and all that list matters is if you don't read it, you don't get a refund. That's the only reason that they came out with that fucking bug list. Like, fucking Worth came out and fucking said, he's just like, these are the fucking, you know, I'm sorry, improvements that we've made, but we didn't do a very good job in 2014, so we're looking forward to 2015, so hopefully we can do a better job. Look what we came up with, a bug list. You know what that bug list is? It's a list of fucking shit that you guys already knew was wrong.
That list is the equivalent of the don't put your hairdryer in the bathtub with you.
Exactly, exactly.
So that way, when you put that fucking thing in the bathtub with you, you can't sue them.
Yep, exactly. That is 100% exactly what that list was.
So, Kevy,
it is a fucking improvement. Fuck your improvements, man. I seriously, like, oh my god. Every week that we do this fucking show, Moto pisses me off more and more, and I don't even fucking log anymore. Because this is fucking terrible. Like, it's getting to the point where, like, I can't even fucking condone it.
Well, I play a lot of Moto because I've been testing for Modern that. So, like, I try. The Worth
Magic more. Like, you guys, it sucks because, like, I feel like an asshole because I don't play fucking Magic that often anymore. The only time I play is when I have my fucking friends come over and fucking play.
Well,
because I, like, refuse to get on Moto anymore. It's gotten to the point where, like, I loved it, and I fucking hate it now.
I understand. And you know what? Worth wrote a hilarious, probably the least informative five paragraphs.
No. Slick just wrote a fucking hilarious tweet involving that. He basically equated Worth's fucking big apology to fucking the BP apology.
Quote in his thing is, many players spent 2014 having fun on Magic Online. Really? I don't know where you got that, Worth. That's interesting. Okay. Basically,
I want to see the Twitter account Worth's True Thoughts, and I know you guys fucking know that account. I want to see him do a parody article of fucking, which would basically be what Slick did. So I want
to
see.
Okay, so wait. You have to. This is the best. Like, whoever like edited his thing is an idiot, because in the second paragraph is as many players spent 2014 having fun and spending a lot of money and time online. The next paragraph starts, all that being said, we still have not delivered the Magic Online experience you all deserve. The new client transitions have not been smooth, and between persistent client and infrastructure issues and the miss of the league's launch, we are all happy to put 2014 behind us. Okay, so
we're all happy to put last year behind us.
So 2014 sucked balls, Worth. Oh, come on.
February, like we're all really just happy to get this fucking shit behind us, because, yes, we were fucking terrible.
I wish the Wizards website had comments enabled for articles, because I would write a comment here.
Well, their servers
were trash. Their servers were just...
Be honest.
I think you know what? Hey, we got double the budget. They are announcing that they're hiring all kinds of positions, so let's see what they do. Let's try to be positive. I mean, there's...
Yeah, but how many fucking positions do you need at the fucking Mox boarding room? That's why they're all hanging out fucking talking about how bad Moto
look,
is.
Man, look, to quote Douglas Adams, you need a set finite amount of monkeys in a room to eventually type Shakespeare. It's not just three monkeys. It's more than that. So I'm sure that they just keep adding Steves and eventually they'll get there. Maybe they need five Steves. I don't know.
Yeah, if they end up with 12 Steves, like, are we going to have, like, fucking 13
Steves for 13 monkeys.
Yeah, 13 Steves, and then we have, like, 13 fucking
and one,
Tempest
and
reboots.
One Chad. No, you need a Chad. He's the manager.
Yes. Steve.
Look,
Chad.
I'm just saying, if someone creates a fucking MTG Chad Moto fucking Twitter account by Friday, I'm going to be freaked out, man. You guys... The heavy metal lore has grown. So, there's so many accounts, I can't even keep track anymore.
I just see MTG. I just see MTG Chad like flipping his hair aside, like,
hey,
just, like cocking his neck as he's flipping his head. He's just all up and Chad work for Moto. Hey, you
I
know
got
what?
This
shit. I got this, bro. I know you guys are all fucking concerned and whatnot, but it's all right, bro. We got this shit handled. Don't even fucking worry about it. And then he goes off to the side, he's like, Steves, get this shit handled. And the Steves are all, what handled? And he's like, bro, don't even worry
bro,
about
do you
it.
Know how much money
and
we're
then
making?
We still have the same, then we still have the same client next year. God damn it.
Dude, bro, listen, we're all making twice as much money now, so we got this.
Fire all the fucking Steves, fire Chad, hire fucking 12 Mortimers and a goddamn
Rajesh.
Fucking, I don't know. And a Rajesh, and we're fucking good. Like, Jesus Christ. This is
we
so fucking bad.
Limit on that
one. All right, so
the socioeconomic stereotypes, like, we've reached our cap.
Hey, man, in interesting news, I think it's pretty cool that they're moving Modern Masters 2015 packaging to, you know, paper or recyclable kind of product. That's kind of cool.
And this is exactly the way Moto feels about
it.
It
should be made out of fucking,
this should have been the fucking Moto State of the Union right there. Anyways, that shit all sucks. You know what's neat? They're moving the Modern Masters packaging to recyclable. Jesus Christ.
Considering how much a pack of Modern Masters 2015 costs, it should be way more than recyclable.
Yeah.
It should be edible, and it should taste like cheeseburgers.
Yeah. You know it's gonna suck if it like leaks moisture or like wicks moisture or something stupid and the cards go bad or, you know, like, you never know, like, cause that foiling packaging they had, that keeps cards pretty
good. There's also the package that they showed us, which, you know, they're like, we just wanna show you the back, we don't wanna show you the fucking front yet. Which
it's
I'm
blue.
Assuming that means it like, well, something from the fucking set that they haven't announced yet is on the front.
For sure.
You know, kind of like all the fucking packs, they have characters and
like,
yada yada.
Like, why wouldn't they show you the front now? Who cares? There's no fucking spoilers, guys.
Well, they show you the back, and it's a little fucking cardboard wrap package with a little fucking zip pull fucking thing, right? And if you've ever fucking dealt with any of those, if you've ever bought products in fucking the, you know, first world countries. Like, you've seen those before. Like, you know, a little cardboard fucking fold-up fucking thing and, you know, box or whatever, and it's got a little fucking zip pull fucking thing on it. Uh-huh. You know those are held together with glue. And if Wizard's track record shines through, I'm pretty sure somebody's going to pull that fucking tab and just rip the back off their Tarmogoyf because glue was stuck to it. Yeah. And this was the first...
That's going to suck balls. And Tarmogoyf will not be in Modern Masters 2, just saying.
Yeah, well, I've said that over and over.
There's lots of bets going on.
Yeah, apparently Marcel believes it is. I believe it won't. And whoever loses or wins, I don't know. I'm not sure, but one of us is cooking dinner.
I have heard.
It's a Fogo or we're cooking dinner. I'm not sure.
My friend said that he was reading a bunch of blogs and posts and whatnot, and there's a guy who's an unnamed source who's very rarely wrong about spoilers, and he put that there was going to be Zendi fetches, Goyf and Vendilion click in Modern Masters 2015.
Well, that's gonna be sweet. That is sweet.
So the same set, the same shit we had last time, and then Zendi fetches.
Yeah, I don't know. Damn. It feels weird.
Mox Opal, which like, that one just makes sense. Sure.
Well, I'm gonna be like, all right, let me put it this way. Like I've said this before, but like I'm gonna be fucking bummed if they go that route. Now I'm gonna be fucking stoked on the fucking card prices and the card availability there. I mean, if this thing is, you know, they actually fucking kick up the production run, which they've said they're gonna do. Hopefully they've actually tested the market and fucking like looked at numbers and shit that people at Wizards are supposed to get paid to do. Hopefully this catches up with the fucking player base instead of the last time, which, I mean, I can't fault them on the last time. They didn't know Modern was going to explode like it did. Now they know. Hopefully they fucking take care of it. You know, maybe they go overboard and it becomes fucking some ridiculous fucking like watering down of the card pool. But hopefully they know the numbers and they know how many to print and how many not to. But if they reproduce Goyf again and Vendilion click again, and then they just throw in the Zendi fetches because everybody wants them, and like they just strictly make this like there's nothing behind it. Like if they just pull back the fucking wizard curtain and, you know, you see this fucking short balding man yelling into a fucking megaphone, like, all right, fine, like I will be happy because we'll get cards cheaper, but I'll be so disappointed in Wizards if they actually go that route and they just reprint all the shit that we keep telling them to do. Because that's not Wizards. I don't think they're going
to
do it.
It just seems weird. You got Return to Zendikar. The Return to Zendikar has been telegraphed to the point of, like, we're getting smacked over the head. It makes no sense to put that stuff in there. And I think Goyf is just, I don't know. I don't think giving Goyf at Mythic in Modern Master 2 will do absolutely shit to the price.
I will say this. If Goyf is in Modern Masters 2, I have no doubt whatsoever that Click will be there, that fucking, you know, of course we know fucking the Mox will be there, but like Click will be there, fucking the Zend fetches, like it will straight be like a, we need to bring the prices of these cards down. Like as soon as they spoil Goyf, sure, it's all there. And like if they're going to go that direction, then fine. Like just reprint all the fucking cards, like – reprint all the shit that is way too expensive all in the same set, try to make it jive as a fucking limited set, but just make the fucking players happy and get all of these
can't keep going into this. The point is, if you you can't lower the prices reprinting cards in a limited set. It has to be in a core or standard set, otherwise it doesn't do anything.
Really make a bet,
it just doesn't do it.
If you really want to put your money where your mouth is, you don't make a bet about if a card is going to be included in the set. You make a bet about what the price of any given card will be on a long enough timeline. And then, summer might not be long enough, but like if you take Tarmogoyf at the end of 2015, do you think the price will be a dollar less than what it is today?
No, I don't.
I do. If it gets reprinted,
even if it's in Modern Masters 2, no, I don't.
If it's in Modern Masters 2, I guarantee you that they're going to bring the price. Like, if they're going to include it in Modern Masters 2, they're going to bring the price drastically down.
It won't
down.
Be drastic. Dude, last time it didn't drop drastically. It went right back up.
I know, but that's they didn't know what they were doing at that point. It was way too limited. They know better. If they include Goyf in this fucking set, it is going to drastically
drop.
I'll tell you what.
I'll make you a deal. I'll put my money where my mouth is. I'll tell you what. If Goyf is in this set, I will buy every Goyf anyone will sell me in Vegas for $100. Cash.
Jesus,
I'll just buy it. I'll buy it because it's $200 right now. If it's in there, I'll pay $100.
That's a drastic drop in price, though. You're not.
But I'm just saying, like, dealers are gonna be trying to.
No. If you want to put your money where your mouth is, you said that this isn't gonna lower at all. So if you want to do that, you have to buy the Goyf at $200.
I don't need it anymore now. But.
Yeah, you can buy
this isn't about what you need. This is about a bet and putting your money where your mouth is.
There will be a short term drop.
You guys have really gone deep on this. Is at the end of 2015.
Okay.
I feel like this is like we've talked about Goyf on the last like three, four.
I know,
fucking
enough with this fucking green thing.
Then let's put a pin
Done.
In it and
I had every time I heard that.
Right.
It's getting bigger.
Right.
What, you keep talking about Goyf or let's put a pin in it? Which one?
No, my little green thing.
Oh yeah. That makes sense.
So from this point forward, we'll try as hard as we can not to talk about the price of Tarmogoyf one way or the other, and then when we hit the goddamn year in review show for 2015, we'll take care of this. Now,
it'll just be an edited. It'll just be called Tarmogoyf,
the reckoning,
and it'll be edited together. It'll be 3 hours of us talking about Tarmogoyf.
In the conversation in the community, so like I don't think us talking about it every episode is a big deal. Like it's obviously that's. A big deal in the community.
I'm not saying we won't talk about Tarmogoyf when it is inevitably spoiled or not spoiled within the set, but I'm saying let's try to put a moratorium on it for a little while, and let's try to do this. Now, at the end of 2015, who knows who will be alive, who will be dead, where we'll all be living. But
we'll know where you won't be living.
we'll say that for the first event of 2016 that we're all in the same place. Shall we make this a FOGO related bet or some kind of other monetary?
No, that FOGO my ass.
Why? What's wrong with FOGO?
What the fuck are we? Some brewery? This is a Tarmogoyf related event. We're
right,
start
so you want to make a Tarmogoyf bet?
Yes.
All right. So the options are the price on Goyf will be. We should also lock in the number on the cash.
Oh boy.
Let's all agree on the.
Okay.
I want to hear the fucking stakes involved. I don't make bets just because I want to make a fucking bet. If I make a bet, it's because I think I'm going to fucking win the fucking thing.
Sounds like Kevin would like us to ante up a Tarmogoyf.
Oh, fuck that. Are you crazy?
I feel like the only way we're going to fucking like make good on this fucking bet is that Tarmogoyf has to be involved.
I'm out, man. It took me 10 years to get these things. I'm not partnering.
I don't even fucking have them, man. I'm going to have to buy you a fucking Tarmogoyf if I fucking lose.
Well, that's...
I'm going to have to buy a Tarmogoyf, have it in my hands for a second, and then give it to you if
Here's
I fucking
the thing,
lose.
Though, Kevy. I have a Tarmogoyf, you don't, so I know you, and you'll just bet anything, because if you win, you get a Tarmogoyf. If you lose, you say, I don't have one, fuck it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
follow through, but like maybe we just do it like this. Maybe we do a Hooting Mandrills bet.
Yeah, okay, done. Foil right, Hooting Mandrills.
Right. So I'm gonna use the Jason Alt system of pricing, which is the lowest price I can get at least a playset of as a player. That was what it would cost me. I can get 4 Tarmogoyfs at 190 each. So the price of Tarmogoyf today is 190 U.S. dollars. Can we all
agree
on this? All right. So as of, let's say, December 15th, 2015, when we will likely be recording Year in Review, do each individual member of this cast believe that Tarmogoyf will be less than, equal to, or greater than that cost for one
Now, one time? Addendum to this is, now it could be reprinted in Origins as well as the Fall set. You're not just saying Modern Masters, so that's interesting.
No, it's like... Like straight up there's a lot of variables here, but like this is straight up the price. So like when we look back at this, the price of a Tarmogoyf, not set specific.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna say
like,
greater.
Straight up the price that you can get a Tarmogoyf at. Not
now,
oh,
I'm
I want
saying,
the,
I'm
this
saying
version.
Being able to get four of them from the same place at that price, near mint copies, a near mint Tarmogoyf from a real printed set, a real legitimate Magic card. I mean, technically it's $189.97.
Yeah, you can get them for $4.95 from fucking China. Okay. But
yeah, but for $190 US, I can get four cards at the individual of that price. Again, think about it logically here, boys. This is a big deal. Could it be printed in Modern Masters as a rare and not a mythic? Could it end up being in Magic Origins? Could it be in this mysterious fall set that's returned to Zendikar that everyone
could
has?
Could it be in a fucking From the Vaults, like, awesome
Angels?
Cards?
No. From the Vault Angels.
It's not going to get printed in From the Vault. I'll go out on a limb. I'll bet a goif on that.
So cue the Jeopardy.
I'm going to go for that.
All right.
Cue the Jeopardy. Music and think about
I'm gonna go. I don't believe it's going to reprinted any of those sets. I will say it's above.
Okay, greater than 190 for Maddie.
I say lower.
Okay. This is now. I'm glad we wasted all this time. Kevy has selected lower than $190. David,
I abstain.
No. None of that shit.
Hey, this might just be between you and I, Maddie. This might be a fucking OG fucking bet, and there's a fucking foil Hooting Mandrills on the line, which is really gonna suck if fucking Hooting, like if Goyf doesn't get reprinted and fucking Hooting Mandrills goes through the fucking roof because that's like everybody's fucking option other than that, like all of a sudden I'm gonna end up fucking owing Maddie a bunch of money because I can't afford a fucking
Mandrills. I will bet a place at a foil Hooting Mandrills that the price will be lower by the end of the year.
Sorry. Are you
abstaining? Oh, now you're ruining it.
Oh yeah, are you abstaining from the bet?
Are you? No. Okay. I will bet Maddie. Okay. Here and now. Like I'm not taking the fucking.
Hey, let David make a decision.
I am not abstaining if the Goyf is not the stakes. Like if this if
no, that's why I was interjecting.
So you're saying $190 US is too rich for your blood. You do not want to be part of the bet. I mean, you could finance that over the next 10 months to afford it. You know,
fuck
but,
the Hooting Mandrills. I will fucking like just to make everybody clear on this. I will fucking take this bet with Maddie. I'm going fucking under. Maddie's going over the current price. I will bet a Tarmogoyf.
All right,
with Maddie.
I thought we were betting Hooting Mandrills, but all right, fine, fuck it, I'll go. Let's do this.
Maddie, you got four, I got none. I will I will buy all one, right. Get it into my possession, and hand it to you if I'm wrong.
He says buy one, he means he's gonna jack me for one.
It's awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm all. Hey, David, I don't know what happened.
Okay,
to that other
deal.
One.
But if I'm gonna draw a giant dick on that thing, if I buy you one, I am destroying it.
You.
Kevy's cube and he's gonna love it.
Yes.
All right, TSG, your call.
I don't want any part of this.
Okay.
I
just want.
Hey, well, so hey, let's have fucking TSG and fucking David, who don't want any part of this fucking actual Tarmogoyf betting shenanigans, just ring in and maybe they do a fucking foil Hooting Mandrills bet. Like they'll be the subsection of this. I want to hear their opinions on it.
What's your take on it? What do you think? Higher, lower, same?
So, again, you guys are caught up on the wrong fucking thing. And to me, that's the beauty. It's not about does it get reprinted? When does it get reprinted? What rarity is it printed at? What set is it circulated in? It's about the health of the fucking format. If the players didn't have pushback and demanded a Modern Pro Tour this year, if stores weren't out there trying to run Modern events regularly and making it the premier level format that at one point in time, I definitely think it was billed as, and I think Wizards is trying to back off from that, but I think so many people have invested so much into it, they're getting a lot of pushback from it. So I think that 10 months from now, when you look at the health of the Modern format, it will be directly tied to the value of this one fucking card.
See, the way I look at it, the reason I say lower is if it doesn't get reprinted in one of those sets, and it is, like, it actually goes up in value because it's so fucking overpowered in the set, it's so expensive in the set, like, I'm pretty sure the Banhammer is going to come down.
No.
if they don't reprint it. So
whatever your reasoning is,
I've got multiple angles here.
Whatever your reasoning is, you want to go with down, that's fine. I understand where you're coming from. If they don't reprint it, there is a kind of a player revolt here. I don't like this format. I could fucking pay 2 months of rent if I didn't own these things. There's all of these reasons for people to get out of it and find reasons to do other things with Magic, other things with their free time. We have talked at length on many occasions, on many topics about what you could be doing in your life other than owning very expensive Magic cards, how hard it is to get gamers who are like, whoa, 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 you mean I could have an Xbox One and a PS4, or I can have 4 cards out of a 60-card deck. What the fuck is wrong with you people? That makes perfect sense. So if it gets reprinted, but there isn't the tournament support, it doesn't gonna fucking matter that there are more of them out there. The conversely, for the Maddie side of this argument, it gets reprinted, more people think they can play the modern format because it's been reprinted, just like what happened in Modern Masters 2013, or Modern Masters 1, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. So it drove demand way past the supply that went out there. People are like, well, fuck, I already bought the lands. Fuck, I already have 40 cards of an Abzan deck. I just need to get those last few. They're going to bite the bullet. They're going to do just what Maddie did. They're going to trade in their standard collection to be able to have their one precious modern deck, and they're going to go to all those fucking events to play if those events are out there to be played. To me, it entirely hinges on the health of the format. It has nothing to fucking do with the print of
Modern. I'm
going to
just say this. The highest spike so far that we've seen in Modern was right after, like, it was about 3 months after, about 3-4 months after Vegas. So everyone played Vegas. It was awesome. It got a huge amount of attention. We are expecting Vegas 2 to break 8,000-9,000 people. If you don't think this is going to drive immense hype towards the modern format, you're crazy. I guarantee you all modern cards are going to go through the roof. It's all going to be picked up, man. It's going to be exciting. Now,
that is a very safe argument. If you look at what happened to Thoughtseize, just remember what happened to Thoughtseize. There was that instance where I was like, oh, yeah, $70 for my Thoughtseize is done. Fuck yeah, get the fuck out. Because they weren't in Modern Masters. They didn't end up being in the core set that year. People lost their shit because they needed them for Modern. Same thing could happen this summer with any number.
And
did we lose?
He's back. Go on.
I mean, at this point, the erection is gone. I have no fucking idea what you're talking about. I mean,
CSG, the erection is never gone.
I just want to
hiding.
I mean, like, if it isn't 2 hours of talking about our cocks on this podcast, it's like 90 minutes of how people are going to get Tarmogoyfs and how you hate Wizards of the Coast for not making enough of them.
And then more talk about
I'll just say this. A lot of Magic players feel the game's too expensive. So it's the number one complaint. We want to play the game. We want to play the format. And we're tired of people speculating the shit out of cards. And we would like Wizards to address all these things by reprinting the expensive cards. We're not asking a lot here, guys. Make money. We have money. Take our fucking money.
There's other factors there. We can't.
We're not going to go deep. But the point is,
we don't have the energy for this conversation. But I will say that it is very much tied to the fact that I feel like there is a renewed energy for Vegas that's going on right now. I guess I'm happy to report that, as I understand it, SVU House number 2 is now at capacity. Can you confirm this?
I believe it is, right? We're on a third house.
That's what we've heard.
Yeah,
from
there's. I think there's 6 spots in the third house open.
And that was one of my questions for this evening was, you know, as we're really getting close in the window here in terms of, you know, travel choices are being made. I know Marcel has booked his flight. I booked my flight. You know, the boys are getting.
I booked my flight.
So we know how long we're going to be there. Things are coming together. I don't know if someone's going to be.
Somehow I have like a fucked up layover in Jersey, though. I'm not really sure. I'm going to have to ask you guys after the cast if, like, you can help me with
Why
my flight
are you
plans.
Flying to Jersey?
In Jersey. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. But I paid for it already, so I'm hoping you guys can
Wait, wait, wait. You're going to fly all the way to Jersey to get Achiever flight? You're an idiot. You're like an idiot.
He's not flying. He's driving in.
That was a joke.
It's a 4-hour drive away. Well, no, what I like is the fact that Maddie actually expects
it.
He's all, I've seen you fucking buy and sell cards before, so I have no doubt in my mind that you would fly into Jersey.
To save $15, you know?
to save $15 and then cost yourself like $400 more.
Honestly, meanwhile, okay, go on.
I was just going to say, I think I'd seen the same information that David had, that there may be somebody out there in the SVU organizing a third house. I obviously, you know, we all in the cast would love somebody out there to take up that charge, and we don't want anyone to get kind of caught up with the bill. We'd really like people to fill it in, make sure that we have all these places filled out. No one gets left out in, I want to say the cold, but it's Vegas. No one gets left out in the warm or anything.
With the coyotes. Yeah.
So, I know I've kind of deflected questions that they come my way to other people to kind of coordinate. I mean, whoever's in charge of House 3, you know, drop me another line so I know who to direct people. I've been directing people to Tommy a lot recently, but now that House 2 is full, we need to get to the next level and see if we can get some more people locked in for, man, what could only be another place of debauchery. I have no idea how that's going to turn
sweet.
Out.
It's going to be sweet. There's going to be so many people. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, now I've heard, apparently, Kevy and Slick are determining which is the, what did you call it? The day you amp it up? So, what day is that again, Kevy, that you're going to take it off the rails? Right now, Kevy's like, I'm putting Kevy, my kid in.
What? I'm back.
Kevy said he was getting into town Wednesday. And I will say, before we got on this cast, I was ambushed by the Money Draft Millionaires to talk about said details. And from the lengthy conversation that was taking place on Twitter today.
Them just trying to, like, even podcast on our nights and shit. Jesus Christ, the fucking Money Draft Millionaires trying to be like us. It's terrible.
I was taken aback that JR was trying to say he was going to go hard early in the week and then kind of chill out into the weekend. That sounds like grade A bullshit. And I'm not saying JR is a liar. I'm saying as soon as you guys get started, there's no such fucking thing as like, you know what? We've had
a
good time.
Have you ever seen a boulder when it starts to roll down a hill? It doesn't slow down. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that the hill is long and smooth and, you know, you can roll just like, let's not jump off a cliff, boys. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, we did that in Portland.
We're good.
No, I will say, like, we were talking about that today on Twitter, and I think that was part of the problem is, like, I mean, we had a fucking blast in Vegas the last time. The whole thing was fucking amazing. And, like, Portland was, like, the next one that I was able to make it to. Like, I wasn't there for Montreal. I didn't see what you guys did. But, like, we, you know, and I know Slick and JR have made it to other fucking East Coast events and shit. Like, they kind of made a thing out of it. But, like, when they all came to Portland, it was fucking, like, all of us together again. And, like, Portland was a big fucking thing. Slick and I made this fucking horrible assumption. They were like, we should totally outdo Vegas. Let's just get fucked up the whole weekend. And we did. We did a very good job of getting fucked up the whole weekend. But, you know, like we've talked about before, it kind of became a little bit absurd and out of hand. You know, there was fucking dicks on tables. There was fucking blood on playmats. It was fucking out of hand. We had a blast. But then when we got done, we're like, oh, man, we didn't get to fucking hang out with everybody. Like, we didn't get to, like, actually play Magic, you know, have a good time. So we should probably calm it down for the next time. The difference is fucking this time Vegas is like 6 fucking days long that we're going to fucking be there. 6-7 days, depending on who you are. And so, like, I feel like there's room for us getting fucking belligerent on some nights and us just hanging out and playing Magic on other nights.
Well, we'll plan the night that we're going to play some Magic in the house and play Cube. Make that one of the less crazy nights.
Oh, yeah, we got this handled. Everybody that said, like, oh, you know, fucking Kevy's gonna drink a drop and he's gonna get fucking wasted. I've told everybody, I promised Maddie I will fucking play
in this
event.
You have to play.
I'm not gonna promise I'm gonna do well.
No, I don't care.
And then, like, be like, you know, at some point, like, you know, a couple rounds into it, I might just be like, oh,
three
hey,
rounds,
man,
three
I'm
rounds. You
out.
Have to, if you play three rounds of Magic, I'm mm-hmm. cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's enough.
I will easily get three rounds of Magic. Even if I fucking 0-2 drop, I'll just fucking play around on the side with somebody else with that dropped, and then I'll fucking...
The other thing that I really want is if, let's say we scrub out, you and me, That's actually not bad. That'd be fucking awesome.
That's how we take care of our fucking aggressions. You're like, oh, that son of a bitch. Like, I had the card. It was there. I got mana screwed. And then instead of being, like, pissed about it and, like, flipping a table or something, you just get to shoot fucking automatic weapons.
That's actually pretty good. But I was going to say, bring your modern deck, because I want you and me to enter a modern side event together. You know? That would be fun as hell.
That's why I'm, like, super stoked to actually build, like, you know, to build my fucking modern deck. I haven't really had a reason to, other than, like, on these odd outings that I do end up going to fucking places to play Magic and paper, and it mattering that it's a fucking legal modern deck. Like, that's why I've spent the money that I have to fucking put my deck together. That's why I've, like, traded cards to put my modern deck together for exactly that.
So I'm going to make you play.
When I scrub out of the main event to go play a fucking side event in modern and actually be able to do well, because I know the deck very well. Do you know how much I actually wish that Modern Masters fucking Vegas Grand Prix would actually be a modern event just because I could actually do well?
I'm sure they're going to have incredible side events. So.
Oh, no, I know. I wanted the actual fucking the main event to just be a modern event, which, I mean, I know it doesn't make sense logistically. I just wanted it to happen so that I could fucking play my fucking burn deck and back.
That's what side events are for, bro.
Sure. I mean, if you practice, you can play win a boxes and.
Yeah, that's true.
Get a bunch of shit. So, that's generally what I do. If I do poorly in a tournament.
What David does.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why, and yet again, like I was talking about earlier, you know, David went to this fucking SCG event and he fucking killed it and it was awesome. And I was like, man, I wish I was there. But at the same time, kind of, I'm glad I'm not, because he's driving home late because he's good at Magic. Same shit happened fucking in Vegas. It was like, oh, good. We get to drive home late as fuck on Sunday night because David's good at Magic.
So wait a minute. You're saying you're happy you're bad at Magic because you get to leave early? Was that your argument there?
No, that's a silver lining. Okay,
Sweet.
Exactly. Do other shit. I get to play Magic, this game that I love. Like, I mean, sorry, but like, I want to get better at Magic. I really do. But at the same time, it's like there's such an enticement for fucking being bad at Magic. You get to fucking leave.
Only Cabby Metal, folks.
You get to enjoy this fucking game. Like, I mean, I may not be good at Magic, but you guys all have to agree. My fucking heart is in this game. I love this fucking game more than fucking, I mean, all the people I know that
more
don't play
fucking
Magic.
You heard it here, folks. Kevy likes Magic more than fucking.
I don't think he does.
All of fucking, no
I love this fucking game. I love every bit of this fucking game, and I'm not very good at it. But I still, like, I'm still in here every fucking week because I love this game. And yeah, I've also found that, like, if you're not very good at this game, you get to leave early.
Oh, my goodness. So, on that note, is there a hole that we should be diving down? I'm not sure if we got that many questions.
I feel like there's...
Did we?
Okay.
All right, David.
Scott, I
am letting David pilot because I don't see any in my favorites.
Well, you didn't top two in SCG Open last weekend.
That
happened like yesterday.
That's not a big deal. Don't worry.
Yeah, I think that happened today, actually, from what I heard.
Time stream where they're listening to this in the past and we're in the future.
We're Sarkin, man.
You know
we're just.
Hey, I'm not that smart. I talk in the now.
Dragons.
You Doctor Who it somewhere else.
Living the now.
Living the now. All right, David. Twitter whole time.
All right, let me find a good one here. I thought we had like a whole like segment sound clip.
We might. I could put it in there.
To.
I mean, it doesn't.
Wait.
Play
yeah,
a lot.
Here it is. Here it is. Here. Ay ay ay, the mustache is heavy. Okay, go.
Oh my god.
That's
that?
The dinosaur. That's what he says. He's like, fucking eat your cheese. Man.
Oh.
All right. This will be interesting for TSG if nobody else, but. At Furboz, Michael M says one reserved list era pre-masks block to gets to be reprinted in paper. Which one would you want it to be?
Oh, Urza, right? That's what I want.
Yeah, it's got to be Saga block.
Yeah, I think Urza.
That block
pretty...
was fun. That was a fun block. Wicked powerful cards too.
Next question.
All right. Slick says, okay, Gumby, I'll ask you this time. If Heavy Meta could karaoke one song in Vegas together, what would it be and who would sing what parts?
Oh, my God.
That is so complicated.
YMCA.
Nah. Doesn't it have to be We Will Rock You by Queen? And we substitute.
I was going
to
say Queen. Like, either that or like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Or Another One Bites the Dust.
I'm the cowboy. David's the Indian. Fucking Maddie's a construction worker. And TSG is the police officer.
Maybe some Bon Jovi. We could do a little Dead or Alive.
You're not listening!
Something where Kevy screams, for sure.
The Dawn is put off. Whatever I did a lot of in Rock
Band. I'm the cowboy because I love guns. David is the fucking Indian because he will just fucking savage wrestle us to death. Fucking Maddie is a construction worker because he's building a community. And he's
he's going deep on this.
Beta shit. And fucking TSG is a police officer because every time we get out of hand and say some dumb shit like I'm doing right now, he's the one that jumps in and says, hey, nothing to see here, move on.
Wow, that was the most sense I think anyone has ever made. Wow, that's very well stewed, son.
What just happened?
Sorry, you just blacked out and you started speaking in tongues.
Started making sense. Nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah, I think we answered that one. I don't know what else you would sing. That's a tough one.
YMCA.
I do like the Queen suggestion. I was thinking the same thing. Although none of us are ever going to sound like Freddie Mercury. So
never, ever, ever.
That we would be a pathetic replacement for that for sure.
We could sing Girls, Girls, Girls. But instead it's Guys, Guys, Guys by Motley Crue. Guys, guys, guys. It's a sausage fest in this house.
Oh, we could sing It's Raining Men.
Nerds!
It's raining nerds! Eat your fucking cheese, nerds!
Eat your cheese!
Oh my God, let's do it. Done. Locked. Done.
Done. We figured it out. Oh God, that was good. Alright, let's see.
It's raining cheese!
What was the most irresponsible gift an adult ever gave you as a kid, and what did you do with it? That's from @Manadork. Wow.
A BB gun when I was six from my uncle, and I took it on a plane.
Is it a BB gun for all of us? Because that's that is mine as well.
No,
I wasn't a terrorist like TSD. We had a BB gun fight out in the desert, and I lodged a BB in my brother's ear. Yeah, well, because I was a little bit of a dick because my brother is close to 3 years old, 2.5 years older than me, and him and his friends all had BB guns, and they're like, hey, let's go fight, and I'm like, I think I'm just going to shoot stuff over here, and they're all shooting each other out in the desert. Well, I sat there and pumped mine up like crazy, and then I was like, nobody was looking at me, so I just aimed at my brother and popped one off, nailed him right in the ear. Well, they all realized that it was me that did it, and so I got, like, firing squad, shot in the back, and then, I deserved it.
Lord of the Flies a little bit over there in DeGumby's house, man.
but we ended up having to take a twig and popping this BB out of my brother's ear, like the cartilage in his ear.
That's bad.
That's mine.
Yeah, for me, the funny thing is the most irresponsible gift I got was a tennis racket. And you're going to say, well, why is that irresponsible? And it's really irresponsible because you didn't give me any tennis balls. So as a kid, I sat in my backyard and started to pick up, like, you know, I don't know, fucking inch around pieces of rock. And I would just throw them up in there and then I'd whack them as hard as I can. Now, I live next to a library. And it had a parking lot of cars, so I was sitting there one Saturday just whacking rocks, just
wailing shit over the fence.
Shooting rocks, and I'm like, wow.
Think you're a tennis
champion. And
I'm
like, these go so far, right? And then my mother comes out the back, she's like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, there's three people saying that their windows are smashed, and rocks are flying out of our backyard. And I'm like, I have a tennis racket, I'm not doing anything with rocks. Oh yeah, then they took it away from me. But man, that was fun as hell. So I guess it's all you do with it.
The most irresponsible gift that an adult gave me was an idea that my grandfather gave me. That was, like, he was a musician, and he kind of gave me that whole, like, it's kind of cliche, but he gave me the gift of, you can be anything you want to, don't give a shit about what other people think. Rock and roll, yeah, like, just do it, like, do
Here's
what you want to do.
A bag of LSD.
And I didn't get, well, yeah. No, it's like that's probably the most irresponsible gift he ever gave me. Is like realizing that he was like, you know, he was a musician in the fucking 60s, and he fucking just rocked out. He was a jazz musician. He played guitar, and fucking he just rocked out and played clubs and had a good time. And like I didn't give a shit about music when I was like a younger kid, and then like he told me that, I saw that, and I realized how awesome that was. And that was probably the most irresponsible gift you could give me because.
God, could you imagine if he gave you good advice?
Yeah, that knowledge was like, oh, I can play fucking rock and roll. I can play an instrument. Like, not even rock and roll, but, like, I could play an instrument, and I can just go rock out and have a good time and fuck what everybody else thinks about you. And I took that, and oh, god damn it. It's probably ruined my life. I've done a lot of shit that I probably shouldn't have, and I don't know. I guess in a way it's actually worked out well. Like, I'm happy with who I am, but god damn it. Like, I've done a lot of shit under that guidance that my grandfather gave me. Like, usually your grandfather tells you some shit like,
go start a spray foam company or,
you know, but yeah. Well, your grandpa tells you shit like open the door for, you know, your elders and fucking shit like that. No, I was just like, oh, I could go play rock and roll and just do whatever the fuck I want to. And I kind of took that and ran with it. So, yeah, that's probably the most irresponsible gift somebody's ever given me.
Wow. Next. Slightly suggestible Kevy says, next.
Next!
Alright, well, Kevy, did you have any, or do you want me to keep going down my list?
I thought you said you had a list.
Was that not...
We only had two?
Well, no, Kevy, no, I have more, but Kevy said he had some, so I asked if he wanted to do some of his.
Yeah, what do you got, Kevy?
Did you not catch any of the shit I just said?
Alright, Kevy's irresponsible, and he doesn't, he talks out his ass, so... at Direct Damcast says, what's the worst thing that's ever happened to your paper collection, and what did you do to the person responsible?
Oh, my God.
I like how they specified paper collection. That's actually pretty key.
Did I ever tell – because I've told this to a few people. I don't think I've told on the cast.
It took me so long to clue into what's going on. I thought I was supposed to tell you guys more things that, like, more gifts people gave me. We're supposed to talk about more. What? Did you guys not hear me just talk about my grandpa and shit? And then I realized we were talking about Twitter hole questions.
Did I ever tell you what happened to my guy's cradle? No?
No.
Okay,
no.
So for I knew I had one. Right? Because I'd seen it in my cube, and I'd taken it out because I was going to trade it. This is about a month ago for some cards. It was like $200 or something retarded now. I don't know what it's worth. So I'd taken it out, and I put it aside, and I was organizing my collection. I was doing stuff, and a couple of times the kids were building decks at the same time, and they were like, hey, can we go through the box of, like, shit commons and stuff? And I'm like, yeah, like, whatever. And one day they come home from school, and I'm like in the middle of like three conference calls, and I'm like, oh, you know, fucking trying to concentrate and all this stuff. And they're knocking at my office door like, Dad, can we just look through the cards? And I'm like, whatever. I'm like, just take it all. I don't care. Just get out of the damn office right now. So anyways, they're calling up from downstairs, and I'm like, what do you want? They're like, can we draw on a card? And I'm like, what do you want to do? We're just going to draw on some of our cards. I'm like, go ahead and draw on your cards. They're your cards. I don't care. Anyways, so I called Tony on Twitter and a few people. I'm like, hey, man, I got a guy's cradle. I'm looking to get finished team guys. So he's like, okay, I got you. And I'm like, well, okay, hold on. Now I got to actually go find it. And I had ripped my entire collection apart for 2 days. And I'm like, I can't find it. I can't fucking find this card. It's nowhere. I'm like, I can't believe this. I'm not hallucinating. And I had found a Pendlehaven. And I was like, am I retarded? Did I think this was a guy's cradle the whole time? I'm like, no, I know I have it. So a couple days, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, one of the kids, my little one, she comes to me and she's like, oh, Daddy, we were making like happy cards for all, you know, you and Mommy and Grandma and all. I'm like, oh, that's nice. That's so sweet. And she's like, because they know, like, they try to draw magic cards, right? So they're like, we made you a card with a magic card. And I'm like, aw, that's so sweet. What did you do? So I open this, like, half-ass glued red piece of cardboard, right? And I open it up, and there's a red heart drawn in permanent marker and glue sparkles all over Guy's cradle. And it says, Daddy, we love you. And I'm like,
that's totally worth it.
The funniest is I'm like, why did you pick this card? Now, this is the mind of a 7-year-old. She's like, I like trees. I like the trees are so pretty. And I'm like, why did you take? She's like, it was in a sleeve. I thought it was special. I'm like,
yeah, that was a good one.
That's when Daddy, that's when I pulled out the cube and started explaining all about how expensive things are. So that is the worst thing that I had. Although it's pretty cool because I'm going to keep that. I'm going to put it in a safety deposit box. My kids are 20 years old and like, hey, Dad, I'm like, here's your inheritance. A fucked up guy's cradle. Oh, man. God. So that's the worst.
I got nothing on this one. I've never had anything bad happen to any of my fucking paper cards. Like, I mean, I don't have that expensive of a fucking collection, so I've never had anything like bad happen to it. Like, I've traded off a bunch of fucking shit that I probably shouldn't have, but...
Nah, have you ever been sleeving really quickly and you bend one? I've done that a few times.
I had somebody repairing my swamp cooler and they turned it on and water leaked all down through the vent and onto one of my boxes of cards.
Ouch.
Oof.
Yeah, luckily it was
Was it bad or just kind of bad?
It was an M set and
M sets are worth quite a bit, man.
Yeah, it was 3,200 count box that had a lot, all the good uncommons and commons and stuff in it.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, that one stung quite a bit.
I think what I did to them was they fixed all
of my shit for free. Like, they did not bill me. I was like, if you guys charge me, I'll just take you to court.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what's hilarious? I remember when I first started playing in college, and we would play unsleeved, like, I don't know, third edition, whatever, revised, just cards, like, just, like, whipping around the cafeteria. People would spill their drinks and shit, and we're like, ah, whatever. Oh, my God, I have memories of seeing Duel Lands just get destroyed. Oh, cheesy fry, yeah. on your underground seat. Ah, whatever.
How does cheese make it into every fucking heavy metal
episode? TSG, you've got to have a story. Come on.
Well, it's funny that you guys, I feel like you're more seasoned alcoholics than myself. Oh. But definitely, my roommates and I once had a casualty of an entire standard deck that met its end in a river of whiskey. That was an awkward time of trying to pat down cards soaked in booze.
I've been there before, probably not as expensive before, but like, I mean, that's happened. Like, fucking a bottle tips over or a cup tips over. We're not playing like fucking booze cube or anything where they're just paper cutouts. Like, I mean, like, I've had cards ruined to booze before, but like, again, you know, my shit's not that expensive. So it wasn't that big of a deal. But like, I mean,
this was all back before the big magic boom. I mean, this was like cold snap Lorwyn standard. So probably some Orthon Vipers were the most expensive cards to really bite the dust that day. But it was just, you know, I mean, we were.
But hey, you just fucking, you can either list them as damaged or you could just fucking put them back in a sleeve and keep playing with them, right?
Some of them were warped and like the first surface had gone away a little beyond repair.
that's beyond repair.
Yeah, I've definitely had an unfortunate, you know, deck bend, something ends up in the bottom of a bag and gets bent, or we've never left a deck anywhere or like had a air conditioner leak liquids on a box of cards or anything that terrible.
We did have Mike Marsala get all his shit fucking stolen from the Las Vegas fucking GP.
Yeah, that
like,
was bad.
While we're talking, we didn't have like a real great story for that. We did have fucking Mike Marsala leave his shit like on the other table in a bag.
Turn around and boom, gone.
And it fucking disappeared, and it was literally all of his fucking, like, all the cards he had altered, and I believe there was a deck in there. I don't know if,
let's just give this as a warning. Anyone coming to the second Vegas, do not, I repeat, no matter how funny things are going and we're laughing, do not turn around and put your shit down. There's going to be 8,000 people there. Your shit will get stolen.
Also, anybody coming to this Vegas that wasn't at the last Vegas, like, I don't remember what the fucking actual name of the video is, but just fucking go to YouTube, type in GP Vegas, and you will see Marcel's account, like, video account of the last Vegas. He just brought that up today. And he's just like, he was telling Jay Bush, like, this is what happened at the last Vegas. It's like a 10-minute video. And Marcel actually made a fucking video of the last Vegas experience. And if you get a chance, fucking go on YouTube.
I heard there's a film being made for this one.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, isn't it? I actually had a lengthy phone conversation today with the gentleman who had reached out to Marcel about it. We're not really sure what we're going to do yet, how it's exactly going to be handled. I talked to the Money Draft Millionaires today, and they were pretty vehemently against their activities being recorded in a fashion.
Yeah, I would guess. Eh? So,
yeah, I don't know. I can't quote JR exactly what he said, because even that might implicate me in some way.
If you quote JR and you actually do it successfully, I would be fucking proud of you.
They had just called me before we got on the cast tonight, so he was pretty lucid about the whole situation.
Lucid.
Mm-hmm. You mean liquid. About this.
So, but I do want to say that we want to record something of the event that is going to showcase what makes coming together for a heavy meta event, or, you know, heavy meta, brainstorm, money draft, anyone that's involved in that kind of circle, what brings them together, why they want to come together, the times that are had there. So in my mind, it's a reason to extend the circle for 2016. And again, give the people who maybe couldn't make it there some insight on what happened. Not so much insight, because I think if Portland has taught us anything, you really have to be there to get the whole story. You can't.
Yeah. But then there are also things that you don't want on camera.
Right. We all have our reasons and our limits. And so as much as I still say, if you have any capacity to get to Vegas this year, you should. There has been rumblings. There has been talk of doing something pretty, pretty official about a documentary for the event. Cost prohibitively. I'm trying to get my ass to Toronto. Everyone out there should be trying to get their ass to Vegas. We don't want to be like, hey, everybody, throw $20 in.
We need money for this, too.
We can make a movie of all the fun times we had. We are trying desperately to stay away from that situation and not have that come up. So we'll keep you posted about exactly what's going to happen, but I'm pretty sure some pretty fun stuff is going to take place. And we're going to record some of it, and we'll see what
makes
the internet.
Seems pretty legit. Seems pretty official. I've spoken personally to Marcel about this situation, and it's, we've got to keep shit legit for the rest of the Magic community, the rest of the fucking, like, consuming audience. But I'm pretty sure this is going to go down and going to be fucking something that, you know, we haven't done before. You know, you've always got people running around with cameras, and, like, you know, Marcel's got, like I just said, a fucking video of the last fucking Vegas, but this is be a little bit different.
Yeah, this will be a little bit more professional, a little bit better, I can promise you that. So, with that in mind,
yes,
keep an eye out for updates. Hey, Maddie can't tell us what the fuck he's doing in Vegas. I can't tell you what we're doing in Vegas yet, although we're going to do something.
Yeah, shit's getting
crazy.
There's
no plan. That's the thing, where it's Vegas. You don't need one. We're going to go and have fun. No, it's awesome. We're going to play in Magic. I'm going to make Kevy play in a fucking modern side of it. That's my goal. That's my one goal.
Absolutely. I've got this question. Am I allowed to just drop with my fucking pool? Like, if I drop from the main event and I've got a good pool like I did last time, and I could just sell that to somebody besides David, am I still gonna be fucking like legit if we just go play a modern event and tear it down?
If you open a Tarmogoyf and are like, can I get another one? I'm gonna like knock you in the face. I guess they're pretty good, Maddie. Look.
Yeah. Oh, look, I guess they did. I'm dropping. Now let's go tear up this modern event.
That's fine.
You don't need a Goyf because you got four of them. Fuck it. We're playing burn. Let's do it.
I mean,
Maddie, I will sign on to this modern event thing if you fucking play the same deck I do.
I have burn. I'll play burn. Actually, burn sounds fun.
No, I didn't say a burn deck. I said the same deck.
I don't know. We'll see. I might bring a few modern decks. I want to try and win it and crush side events. They're fun as hell, man. So, does the Twitter hole have anything else to offer us this evening?
Is 3 hours not enough for you people? What else can we do for
you? I'm just curious if there's another one, because I know we got a lot of new questions.
We could just ask like a certain city.
What is this reverse psychology? Where are we? What's going on?
Rico asked me, he wanted to know what I was thinking during the match heard around the twitch.tv world, also banned for caps, which I think is a reference to him getting banned.
Banned.
Because he said,
grabble!
No, he got banned because he said he loved Gumby in all caps. That's what they banned him for. It was. I don't even think he said grapple.
Oh gosh.
Well, who knows that?
That's so funny.
You can't proclaim your love in all caps. You're banned.
You're banned, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So, in answer to that question, honestly, I was really, really enjoying myself at that point. Like I said earlier, as soon as he cast the second Creator's Clause, and I knew that I was going to be able to survive by unmorphing the creatures that I had. I was like, okay, this is magical Christmas land. Like, I'm going to be able to just do whatever the fuck I want. And I should, as long as I don't completely fuck things up, be able to win this game at my leisure. And so I was just enjoying myself. I was trying to think of, like, the most fun way that I could kill him. For a while, I was planning on doing what I had done earlier, which was cast End Hostilities, sacrifice my Whisperwood Elemental, and kill him with Purphoros triggers. It took me a while to find the Purphoros, so I eventually had to, you know, get creative with finding enough creatures to get there, but I did so. But yeah, it was one of the most fun experiences I've ever had playing Magic,
now,
especially knowing that everybody was watching it. That just made it so much better.
Now, with that being said, like, this is a Twitter hole question. This was, you know, this isn't just, like, David. So now we also have to figure out where everybody else on the cast was thinking while you were in that situation.
Yeah, there you go. I'd love to hear
that. During game one of the semis, he had, you know, full control. I mean, watching the round during the Swiss was a lot more painful because there was definitely a few subtle miscues that I can't remember the exacts right now, but it was
The biggest one is I could have manifested the top card of my library.
That was the big misstep. Yeah,
that was the big one.
You literally had lethal on board and it didn't happen. So I really, at that moment, I did not want, you know, you on stream to end in such a fashion where, you know, you've been winning so much, you've been right there next to the match, it's on camera, and then to get to that point and not be featured would have been so brutal. It was just like, that even thinking about that was tilting. So I'm really glad that that was not the way it played out, and you actually got to be featured and shown. So because of that, you know, that semis was a wild ride. Obviously, you were really rewarded for doing something different and being able to come at it from different angles. And as long as I wasn't looking at your sideboard, I was very excited with what you were doing. And you know, that finals was just brutal to watch because as much interactivity as there was at some parts, the lack of interactivity and ability for you to maneuver in a lot of those games was also rough to see.
Yeah, well, that's, like I said, game three, I just drew nothing but lands. I felt like I kept a fine hand, a hand that I needed to win as long as I drew into some of my threats, and I just never did it. So,
yeah.
And that's the David NTSG side of what was going on in their heads while this was happening. The Maddie and Kevy side of things was more like, ah!
Yeah, pretty much.
David's on camera. This is fucking awesome. Look at, there's a Heavy Metal shirt. Yeah, go, go, David, go, go. And that was it. Like, me running around my house with a boner. Yeah, that was basically where we were at while David was experiencing that. I felt for him. I was just like, oh, man, he's going to drive back to the Crest after this is over. But he's doing so good. And my fucking penis won't just lay the fuck down. And my wife's like, what are you doing? Like, I don't even understand. Look, David's on TV. And she's just like, oh, shit, David's on TV. And then she forgot about my boner. Yeah, thanks for taking that away from me.
My dear penis wife. Won't lay down. That's... Lay down, goddamn you! Oh, that's a quote right there.
David, pretty sure after that, when I had sex with my wife, she was thinking about you winning a Magic game.
I'm going to stay out of that conversation.
Yeah,
I really hope
savor that.
Effectively change Kevy's quote at the beginning of the cast to include that.
My penis won't lay down. Oh Lord. That is a... For, you know what? I want to say something to all of the new listeners that are here because of David's great success. I don't doubt that you will be back for a second dose.
Yeah. Hey, if I could say anything to the new listeners that came here because of David, David Moline does not condone any of the shit that happens on Heavy Meta. Yeah, he's a responsible deck brewer and very good Magic player. and for that, we thank him. And fuck your mother.
Wow. Wow. Out of nowhere. Wow. Oh.
Holy shit.
Self San Diego.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I'm still going to be relevant on this podcast. I have to start yelling shit about San Diego at some point.
Got to keep myself in the conversation.
That's right. Just cunt, fuck, ass, fuck yourself, San Diego. Go!
The best is the people that just come out for the first time are like, I don't understand the hate on San Diego. What's with those guys and hating that city?
What? Hate San Diego, so goddamn
I'm going to go back and listen to 100 episodes. Maybe they didn't hate the city that much. Nope, they do.
Maybe one of them had a bad experience.
At a Walmart.
And then Conley went to come on and tell him about how he had a sandwich and fuck San Diego.
Look, isn't that hilarious that Conley Woods talked about a sandwich and then So Sandwich Good became a thing? I'm telling you.
I think there's some weird shit involved. It's shit that we don't mean to do that just keeps coming up. Like cheese and sandwiches. We're a bunch of fucking fat kids. Like, that's what it comes down to. Like, there's cheese, there's sandwiches, there's cheeseburgers. Fucking Jesus Christ. Like, the shit that we're known for is not magic. It's delicacy. It's beautiful food. We're not a food podcast, but for some reason... We'll go fucking 3-4 episodes with fucking dildos and cheese, fucking cheeseburgers, fucking, like, it's fucking ridiculous.
Hey, no one got diddled to freedom today, like.
It's so sandwich good, right? Though.
So sandwich I mean, if good. I had a hypodermic needle for every time someone said that. Oh my God, our show is horrible. All right, everybody. No, just kidding.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, we're off the air at this point.
Oh, yeah. We're so far off the air.
You ever actually listen to these fucking podcasts after Maddie releases them? There's a lot of times you think you're off the air, and you're not.
Well, let me know where we are so you can give me an idea. What the fuck are you doing in Vegas?
Transmutation, brand new statement. I have you gaping open. check it out, y'all. Now let's see, Deltron Z, Art Avenger, let's start the adventure. Pincher with nerve gas, absurd blast, crash a spacecraft, I'm bio enhanced. Hyro Advanced Series, monstrous evolution, headed tooth and nail, super trail, super sleuth, a new race, mad creator, savage nature, worldwide web, the ebb and flow, light years from watchful eyes, where my thoughts provide objective, the arts disguise, the pompous prophecy, underground societies are ought to lead, asteroid surfing, castor oil burping, the darkest side of humanity animated, the grand awakening, plan to take it in, I demand your patronage, mobilize my battle takes, with clusters small, empty arts and empty Mars, many MCs cruise low earth orbit, easier for me to use my search warrant, drift by a star, absorb it and store it, leave Taurus Corvus, my galaxy's gorgeous, quantum jump, I'm right at your doorstep,
positive contact.
My last decision, pulse amplification, temple with napalm, I want y'all to stay calm, alien annihilation, I stick arm to the grill piece and kill beef, 20% matter, 30% is energy, assembling to become a living being, evaporate to radiation phase and station, I get higher deviation,
positive contact, positive contact,
reactor,
positive contact.
I rise like helium, you're falling rapidly. Trapped in apathy while I track your speed. I'm with the call of legend, dominance with Armageddon. Gives me a warm reception. Global war with weapons, installation. Slow on the sawdust, distance 12 parsecs. Enthusiast phalanics with my literary talents. Just a bit of balance, rip the silence to space. All star systems are our victims. Atomic synonymous with ominous. Implications of information, information and entertainment. Tribotech dialect, you gotta earn my respect. I'm like Gamera to amateurs, hit them with a cannonball. And in all this confusion, the fusion of music and mind dissipates, translucent illusions. Search the ruins with automator, hit the walls with a carbonator. Hit our missiles, just regenerate. The sonic soldiers allow us to demonstrate. Emergency dispatch, skyscrapers rip back. For the impact, their flow is mismatched. My style's protected by heat shield and ceramics. Don't panic, I landed on planet Mercury. Gave it atmosphere, set up my headquarters. I'll never get captured here. Trap your tear, clap your ear with soul sonic, mantronic, phonic, turn your brain to an omelet. I'll hold a comet in bondage with my dominance, take a space shuttle to escape trouble, bounce through the Milky Way. Not many MCs feel this way.
Positive contact. Positive contact.
Yeah, yeah, what is it now?
Positive